thought it was safe to turn on your radio.
Something fresh and exciting. Somebody with a sock personality that'll sweep people right off their feet.
Where is he? What is he up to? What other terrors can he unleash at will?
Starring your genial host, renowned writer, art collector, and teller of strange tales.
What fiendish power did he possess? Where did he come from? Who is this man?
Believe me.
It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network for a Monday. Talk radio the way our founders intended. America, remember when you had to take the vaccine in order to go to work? Well, in Germany, you must be fully vaccinated before your death by assisted suicide. Day 1207. People of the Eric in America, say hello to EZ.
What's up?
Good afternoon to you. Putting the heat in, Heather.
Hello.
Double H is here. Heather has answers in the next hour. Dark history, the top of the third. As usual, our buddy Eric Matheny will join us at the top of the last hour with your remarks here and there in between. Trump has had his last warning from Merchan.
Judge Merchan just said, it's clear the $1,000 fine is not working. He said, going forward, this court will have to consider a jail sentence. He then said, the last thing I want to consider is jail. You are a former president and possibly the next president, end quote. Andy, why don't we just start right there? Because he's going to...
I mean, the guy can't even say this trial is a sham.
No, he can't.
At the very heart of free speech. Your opinion, my opinion is this trial is a sham, and he cannot say it. They're going to put him in jail. I'm absolutely...
No, they're not.
I think they're going to put him in jail, and I think they're going to keep him there until this trial is over. They might keep him there, how long do they think this thing was going to last? A month?
Probably about a month.
He might be there for 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
No, Merchan admitted exactly what he said. He said he'd love to put him in jail, but he's afraid to put him in jail. He knows better than to... If he was to put him in jail... All that is going to do is you'll see his poll numbers shoot up. His donations will go wild again. You've seen multiple people. Even well-known liberal people are like, if they put him in jail, that's $100 million to his campaign.
Why don't they understand that? And a conviction in this case would be the same thing.
Yep.
And assess the gag order yet again. The gag order stays, but he'll assess the fine. So I think you're up to 10, 11, maybe 14 grand. I don't know. I lost count. Andy, go ahead.
Bill, as I said to you last week, if I were Trump, I'd basically bring in a check for 10 grand every Monday and just say whatever I want. This is all politics at this point. I don't think the judge, I mean, it's easy for me to say because he's not going to put me in custody, but I don't think the judge, because of the politics of this, it would be disastrous politics for the Democrats, for the judge to put former President Trump in jail over this. So he'll continue to fine him. And as long as that's what it is, I think Trump should just pay the fine and otherwise say what he wants to say.
You don't think he'll put him in jail?
No. I think he's afraid to. Because really, if anybody else had... This is a trial of anybody else and they violated a gag order 10 times, they would be in jail.
Yes. Absolutely. But I mean, there's never been a gag order issued to anyone where you couldn't say that you disagreed with the trial. Or in the last case, you couldn't say that you are innocent against E. Jean Carroll. Oh, you cannot claim innocence. No, sorry. That's the gag order. And you do, and it costs you $90 million. Or whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, there's never been a gag order like that, but also any judge that would be saying that he's disrupting court would have already had him handcuffed and put in jail.
He's not disrupting court.
He's not.
He's making statements on the outside of court. This trial is a sham. And if you want, you know, which I can't believe that, I mean, every legal expert, constitutional expert, appellate level expert, all believe that this gag order is far overreaching and unlike anything they've ever heard. So likely, I mean, I don't know that you can by the time you get to an appellate level to agree that the gag order was unconstitutional, the damage has been done.
Yeah, the trial's ordered by over by that time.
The results of that trial are what's being challenged at the appellate level. But if Trump continues to do it, he's putting the judge. I'm not saying he shouldn't. Don't get me wrong, but he's putting the judge in a increasingly tougher position because he's going to have his leftist loon supporters and shot callers telling him jail him, jail him, jail him. And I'm here to tell you that would be the end of this guy's career. To put a former president and likely future president in jail in the interim when he's not, I don't think there would be violence. I don't think there would be, violence in the streets. You would see a lot of protest-style events around the jail, more than likely, and it would make world headlines and would absolutely guarantee his presidency in 2024. He could be sitting in a cell and win in 2024.
Yeah, again, there's a reason why that judge has stayed away from that is because that he knows that exactly what would happen, that he would be basically handing it to him if he was to put him in jail for speech.
I think each time he issues another $1,000 fine, he increases Trump's numbers. I mean, people see it as unconstitutional, which it is. And there seems to be, I don't know, for lack of a better way to put it, there's just a major gaslight going on in this country about stuff like this. Like, we're to assume it's perfectly normal for a judge to tell a defendant in a case that while the case is not going on, he can't say that this case is a sham. Most defendants don't speak up because their lawyers tell them not to.
Yeah.
And they don't say anything. And they say no comment. But I think this is beyond that. No one's asking him about his guilt or his innocence. The focus is on the lawfare that's been going on. This is just a key part of it. Other parts are falling apart. We've got some news about the Jack Smith case later that thing is just, I think it's gone. Well, you could call that case gone because there's no way. We know it's not going to get anywhere prior to 2024.
Yeah, and we have a case that for once there was a judge that seemed to follow what the law says and unsealed a bunch of documents that shouldn't have been sealed in the first place, and now we're finding out why they were sealed.
Right, and then we're finding out that some documents that appeared in there that weren't in there, and some evidence has been planted, and things have been, it's dirty, dirty, dirty. But we're told that it's the most egregious breach in national security history ever. It's Trump's done. Who knows who he's going to sell these documents to? He was defiant and blah. We'll get the same thing in every other aspect, every other metric of what you would consider an issue for the 2024. Gallup has been, they do confidence polls. They've been doing them for some time. And we've been told one thing by this Biden-elect economic team, or those that choose to comment about Bidenomics, that it's a strong economy. This is the strongest economy right now in the world, we're told. But I think people are starting to see the gaslight because in the latest economic survey by Gallup, it said that confidence in his stewardship of the economy is, quote, historically low. Confidence in him running for re-election to fix the economy is the lowest under Biden since Gallup first tracked the metric, with Americans less optimistic about the state of the U.S. economy than they have been in recent months and concerned about inflation persisting. Their confidence in President Joe Biden to recommend or do the right thing for the economy is among the lowest Gallup has measured since 2001. 41% of Americans name inflation as the highest cost of living, and the high cost of living is the most financial problem facing them today. But if depending on who you ask, you just don't know. That's just not true. That's simply not true. Falling just short of saying that you're an idiot. This is Hakeem Jeffries, Nora O'Donnell last night.
But 2/3 of voters think the economy was better under President Trump.
First of all, she acts like it's like a surprise. She leans forward. 2/3 think it was better under Trump. Like, she's amazed by it.
Well, that's just not the case, and we have to do a better job of laying out the facts that the economy has dramatically improved under the leadership of President Joe Biden.
But if you want to lay out facts, you need to lay out, you know, Americans don't want to hear whatever you call facts. You know, well, facts is, are questionable, depending on who gives you the facts. Now, anyway, we no longer depend on your facts because we see it with our own eyes, despite what you tell us. I mean, this is the most glaring separation of reality and government in recent years that I can recall, being told that everything's great and then driving to work and paying $3.63 for gas this morning. But the facts are different. The data says that the economy's great. The facts are great. The data says this and that. The data for us is what comes out of our pocket at the gas station, at the grocery store, and anywhere else we make a purchase. That's the fact to us.
It is. And I love that we have multiple times. Hakeem Jeffries has said it. KJP has said it. AOC has said it. Nancy Pelosi said it. It's always, we have to figure out how to properly get the facts to them. Like,
right.
Oh, you've not figured out. You guys have had 4 years almost. You still haven't had to figure out how to get facts to us that we're looking at and going, well, you're wrong.
Or, I mean, find a way to convince us. I mean, that's what they're really saying. Before it was a messaging problem. You know, we're having a, you know, our messaging. We got to get the word out.
If those are the facts, why don't voters believe it?
Good question, Nora. Because the facts are BS.
Is that a communication problem?
Voters understand that more needs to be done, that there are challenges that remain.
But
confidence in the Federal Reserve Chairman is also the worst recorded, and it's no better for congressional leaders. And more people, while more people have a greater faith that Trump would be a better economic steward, 41% of Americans, Biden's not alone in facing skeptics. Trump is also underwater in that department. 46% of adults say they have a great deal or a fair amount of confidence in Trump to do or recommend the right thing. So he's not above 50%, but he's much higher than Biden's 36%. Or Powell's 39, or Democrat leaders 38, or Republican leaders 36. Trump has the highest amount of confidence of any other player in the game. And apparently, it's starting to show. Reality is starting to settle in with those in D.C. You know, I think way back when Trump, I mean, when Michael Cohen became an anti-Trump guy and did his time and came out, and he told an organization in the U.K. called ITV that he will absolutely seek political asylum in another country if Trump returns to the White House because, quote, he will exact revenge on anyone who he thinks has done him wrong. I fear for my safety. I fear for my life. He's no Clinton. Similarly, De Niro. We heard De Niro. Trump's a malignant sociopathic narcissist who will come looking for him. Remember that? So who's a narcissist?
Yeah, Trump's like, oh, I got to get De Niro now.
Yeah, who's the narcissist? De Niro's the narcissist because he thinks that when Trump becomes president, the one man he's coming for is De Niro.
The guy is a total monster. And anybody, I don't understand it. I guess they get behind that kind of logic. They want to with people, screw them, because they're unhappy about something. He's such a mean, nasty, hateful person.
People, that seems to be the worst thing anyone can say about him. He's mean. He's too mean. He's just mean. General Mark Milley, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs, said he fears Trump would, quote, try to incarcerate me during his second term. Everyone from gay people, LGBTQ people, people in news, people in movies, and former generals, or, you know, current generals that are former chiefs of staff that are all fearing they're going to go to jail.
No, I mean, Milley probably should, but
apparently there are some D.C. insiders that are flirting with the idea of leaving the United States if Trump defeats Biden. They said it's become the topic of the season at Washington dinner parties. Where would you go if it happens? Listen to this. A former agency director says Portugal. That's us from Australia. I was a member of Congress in Australia, said Portugal. A former agency director in Canada says France. Another one says Canada, and another columnist says Poland. They're literally like they and some people, well, some of it's gallows humor. We're going to leave, blah blah blah. But then if you're talking about former members of Congress and former administration people, then maybe they want to get out of the country because they fear they might be, you know, indicted.
I mean, this sounds like a lot of people that are afraid they've committed a crime and now trying to get out of here.
Yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like.
Because if they got nothing to hide, then why are they worried about getting indicted?
Former Department of Homeland Security official Mike Taylor, a never Trump conservative, now rooting for Biden. He said many insiders dread the possibility of Trump getting a second term. Taylor said, I feel like in the past 2 weeks, that conversation, for whatever reason, has just surged. People are feeling that it's very obvious if a second Trump term happens, that's going to be a slash and burn. Former Congresswoman out of Florida, Stephanie Murphy. Says that Trump's extreme rhetoric is worrying both Democrats and Republicans. She told the Times, the rest of America may not take what he says seriously, but I think you're heading for an uncomfortable chatter in Washington among Democrats and Republicans because they understand, having worked with him in the past, that when he says something, he means it. That's a concept that's completely unfamiliar to these people. Well, he actually meant it? I thought I was just kidding, like the rest of us when we say stuff. According to CNN's David Andelman, who lives down in here in Florida and has lived in France for some time, says some Americans fear retribution or seriously look into other countries to move into. Fear of retribution or, you know, legitimate prosecution?
Yeah, I mean, he's not. He can't have you indicted on stuff that you didn't do.
Right.
So do you actually have a reason to legitimately be prosecuted? It seems like you're scared of that.
I mean, we always hear celebrities who are going to move. You know, none of them did. None of them will this time, I guarantee it. But if you start to see, you know, former congresspeople, former members of Congress, former agency directors start saying that they're going places like Australia, Canada, and Poland. It's not, I mean, if retribution to them means actually having to be held responsible for crimes you committed, I mean, that's probably what they think it is.
Yeah. I mean,
that's retribution to try to put me in jail for all the crimes I committed.
Yeah, people like Millie are thinking that because, I don't know, Millie, you actually may have committed treason against the U.S. government, so there's a reason you might be a little worried about getting out of here.
I don't blame him. Yeah, because you admitted to the world that you told our enemy you would let them know in advance if we were going to strike.
You specifically called your Chinese counterpart against the wishes of the commander-in-chief. You actually probably should have been, by our law, hung for treason.
Court-martial, absolutely. Oh, I think that the latter is more likely to be true, that they fear they'll be prosecuted in jail for whatever crimes they've committed. And they'll go down and say, oh, it's his, you know, it's just trying to get revenge, slash and burn, revenge. Meanwhile, everything that's going on right now, despite all their efforts, I don't know about so much of this criminal case going on. He may be convicted. It'll be appealed instantly. And obviously on appeal, it goes away because it's so effing stupid. There is one thing to note out of this. I want to take this out of order. And that is, this is a beautiful thing. A Brooklyn Senator, State Senator Kevin Parker. He is a fellow that actually voted in favor of the legislation that made it possible for E. Jean Carroll to bring a lawsuit against President Trump at the time for rape. He did away with the statute of limitations or extended it. This guy voted for it, and now it has come back to bite him right square in the ass, as he is now been accused of rape.
1-year-old woman named Olga Jean-Baptiste 21. Was helping Brooklyn State Senator Kevin Parker arrange relief for flood victims in Haiti. She now says after she returned from her trip there, Parker visited her apartment to pick up some photos and discuss the trip. According to a lawsuit filed Friday, she then stood up to say goodbye when Senator Parker held on to both of her wrists with his hands. Plaintiff was frozen in fear and was unable to cry out. Senator Parker then took plaintiff down the hallway of her apartment to her bedroom, made a sexual comment, and put her face down on the bed, then raped her.
Now he says this: the law that has allowed this case to be filed against him is unconstitutional. You can't just open a door for a little bit to get the guy you want to get and then shut the door again. That door is open.
And that, well, it did shut. She got in. She slapped her hand through the door and got slipped through it because it was only like a 3-month window they gave for that. And she got it in at the deadline. So because a bunch of people were caught off guard with never having a chance to even actually put any charges against anybody because it was given such a short time frame window.
The now expired act permitted alleged victims to file civil lawsuits against their accused attackers within a certain window of time within the state's statute of limitations had run out on their claims. Parker was accused of a 2004 attack in November 2023, made it just under the wire. So that means it goes away?
Well, I mean, it's closed her. They already killed it, that statue. So, but she made it under the wire. So that's going to continue on. You got to go to court now.
Unless, of course, you want to just drop all the other stuff against Trump.
Yeah, if you want to just declare the whole thing was unconstitutional for you to create a window of time period for one person to sue a person.
This is going
to
be great for Trump's appeal in that matter.
Yeah.
You know? One by one, you know, their efforts seem to fall apart. It's amazing to me.
Yeah, because it's amazing that they also did the same exact thing that they are accusing people of.
Right.
A surprise.
When we return, there may be a ceasefire right now. IDF continued their Rafah assault after dropping thousands of leaflets of alerting people to get the hell out. That they did, or they're doing. They did some airstrikes, and then Hamas started to scream, wait, we agreed to it. But we're not really sure. They've mentioned much about the hostages in the air and their agreement. Plus, Nora O'Donnell is mad at Hakeem Jeffries because he's insufficiently mad at Israel. Hang on, it's a Shannon Burke show.
Now, why did you
negotiate many times?
Negotiate? What is to negotiate? What is?
University is a public institution.
That's right. But the university,
its own community, and for the community of Berkeley that live around it.
All of it began the first time some of you who know better and are old enough to know better let young people think that they had the right to choose the laws they would obey as long as they were doing it in the name of social protest.
True. This little snowflake here will not be graduating. She's at ASU. She just can't understand it.
Disappointed. I'm being restricted from a lot of things right now. That I didn't expect to be for standing up for something that I believe in.
There's your problem.
You didn't expect consequences.
You didn't expect. Why? Because you believe in this. This is a social justice moment here. You believe that's something you believe in. So why would you ever face any consequences whatsoever?
You know, I have family coming in who I have to let them know to, you know, not come to my graduation ceremonies. I am glad that there is a guarantee that my courses will be taken care of, so I don't have to worry necessarily about my graduation requirements and the fact that I will earn my degree as I have spent the past 4 years doing. But I'm just disappointed. I mean, I'm a 2020 high school grad, so I wasn't able to walk then.
She's hysterical.
And so,
and large.
You know, here it is. I'm not able to walk now.
Oh, dang.
But you believed in it, so you had to accept the consequences. Don't cry.
You're a big girl. Poor thing. Columbia canceled their graduation ceremonies altogether.
Yeah, so all the kids that did
nothing.
No one's
walking. Yeah.
And they went to class like normal, don't get to have their graduation now either. So,
way to go, people. All of this has raised a lot of questions about the organization and the obvious funding that these operations at 60 plus universities around the country must have benefited from. And we speculated, and you know, for a while, if you just come out and say George Soros, then people on the left go, oh, George Soros is just the guy you want to blame everything on, blah, 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 blah. But it doesn't take long to find out where some of the, or most of the money and organization is coming from. I got some great Taylor Lorenz audio, too. Here we go.
Has a story out this morning noting that a lot of the multimillionaires and billionaires funding the most explicitly anti-Israel groups, ones that think Israel has no right to exist, that are active on campuses, that these groups are funded by big Biden donors, the Pritzkers, the Gateses, George Soros, David Rockefeller Jr. Should they stop funding these groups? Are they causing unrest for the American people?
How weird of a thing is it that, I mean, these people aren't stupid. There's a method to their madness. There's a reason they're funding this stuff. But they're the same people that backed, their, and presumably are still backing Biden in 2024. Unless they know something, you know what I mean? Like maybe they want to turn up the heat against Genocide Joe, so they maybe it adds to the reasons they need to get rid of him or whatever, and then they, you know, slide someone else in. I was talking to somebody over the weekend. My buddy Farley said they're not going to do it at the DNC at the convention. That would be too obvious. They're going to do it between there and the. And it's more of an emergency then, right?
Yeah, when like I have to get him out of there at this point. So, I just think they're chaos. They are harbingers of that. Because when the chaos is there, changes happen. Usually bad. I mean, look at all the BLM stuff. Look how many laws got changed, how many rules got moved around, how many COVID, how many restrictions tightened or loosened.
Right.
Those group of billionaires put their fingers in the little pies to see what they can move their ledger either way.
This is Mitch Landrieu, a former Biden advisor.
Well, let me say this. I think that everybody, as the president has said, needs to kind of get focused in on the very core principles of what our Constitution allows and what our Constitution protects. And that is this. Everybody has a right to protest, but they have to protest peacefully. If they're protesting violently, that has to end. There's no place for that. There's no place for anti-Semitism. There's no place for Islamophobia.
Politico has a story.
I mean, that is a... And that hasn't been asserted, you know, not powerfully by this administration, because he risks losing a large chunk, but also they always slide in the administration doesn't mention anti-Semitism in a sentence unless they add an Islamophobia. You see any Islamophobia going on?
Nope, not really.
Zip. I mean, I don't see acts of terror or anything against Islamic people, Muslim people. I did notice that the more dedicated you are to the cause of the Palestinian people and Gaza and Hamas, the more likely you are to say those words differently than the rest of the world understands them. And because you think that maybe we think that, hey, he's saying Gaza different than I hear it. Maybe he knows something. Here's an update on the starving Princeton kids.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. We really appreciate all the support the community has been showing us in our hunger strike. It's been incredible. You know, we have people regularly checking our vitals. We have people, you know, constantly worried about us, setting up, you know, structures for us. We have people donating stuff all the time, like rain boots, you know, all the stuff that we need to stay warm. And so, you know, we really feel humbled because we're undertaking this action in solidarity with the Palestinian people. But what we know is that the starvation faced by the Palestinian people, they are not as supported as we are. So we should always center that and remember them in our hearts, inshallah. May Allah, you know, always make us among those who, you know, feel the pain of the Palestinian people and remember the saying of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that, you know, one part of our ummah feels pain.
Is this guy now a Muslim? Did he convert?
I guess he did.
We all feel pain. So that we just want to make sure that, you know, everyone is centering the people of Gaza and the people of Palestine.
Now it's Gaza. The first was Gaza, and then it was Gaza, now it's Gaza. What? This guy must be really Islamic if he says it that way.
So that we just want to make sure that, you know, everyone is centering the people of Gaza and the people of Palestine.
Gaza. It might even be Gaza. What's going on here?
In their hearts. And, you know, when you do that, please come and show your support. We always need more numbers here. It's always amazing to have people, you know, amplifying our message, because that's how we put pressure on the university. You know, the university doesn't actually care about, you know, doing good or being altruistic. What they care about is if they look bad. So let's make them look bad.
Doesn't look like he's missed any meals. It's day three. Do they have to be outside to be on a hunger strike? And didn't it rain like a had a thunderstorm?
Poor, crazy.
And they are not allowed to have tents any longer, so they just
huddled under umbrellas and then whined about it.
Can't you be hungry inside?
Yeah, you
or
could.
Or is it more impressive if you're hungry outside? It does seem more pathetic. You know, it adds that more suffering. Not only am I hungry, but I'm hungry in the rain.
Yeah, no. Come out here and do it this week, past weekend here in Florida, where it was like 90. You go hungry in the 90-degree weather, I'll be impressed.
Yeah. They are gaining in numbers. I did notice one rather chubby. This girl's going to go for the long haul. She had to be 230, 240. She was joining. Oh, I got so much idiocy to play audio for you. I don't even know where to start. Nora O'Donnell. In this interview she did with Hakeem Jeffries, she wants him to share her disdain and anger and vile opinions of Israel. And she seems a little upset that he's rather insufficient in his ability to be super critical of Israel.
But isn't it also true that while retaliating and going after Hamas terrorists, that Israel has been indiscriminate in its bombing?
I would not say that they've been indiscriminate. I do think what we'd like to see moving forward.
Uh-oh. Indiscriminate is the narrative.
And he moved right away from that immediately.
Yep, I would say that indiscriminate, but let me tell you about this.
Is the execution of the new phases of this conflict with surgical precision.
You can still be a strong supporter of Israel and Americans' defense of Israel, and be critical of their approach about how they've waged this war in Gaza.
That's correct.
But you seem reluctant to criticize Israel at all.
I'm dealing with the facts on the ground.
The facts are, according to the UN, half of Gaza's...
She's now trying to convince him to be more critical of Israel.
2.2 million people are on the verge of famine. Has Israel done enough to get food and aid into Gaza?
I want to say this before he has his answer is BS, but can anyone bring up the fact that the aid is instantly, I mean, Palestinians are shot by members of their own people, the Hamas people, or they're shot at least to scare them away from the aid so it could be stolen. I don't know that any of the aid's actually got to them yet.
Yeah, we have no idea.
Nobody mentions it.
The ones that landed on top of them, yes.
Oh, they did get, yeah.
Israel clearly needs to do more as they have recently acknowledged through their actions to surge humanitarian assistance into Gaza. The other thing that I think is important.
Only after they killed 7 aid workers from World
Center
Kitchen.
Correct, and that was horrific.
Is she a news person or a spokesperson for the Palestinian people?
Including one American. Now, in terms of the loss of innocent Palestinian life in this tough theater of war, that is deeply disturbing, tragic, and should be painful for anyone who has a shred of humanity in their body.
Well said, Hakeem. He just didn't hate Israel enough for her.
It's weird. Sometimes they get in there and they're like, okay, just go ahead and condemn them. Say how much you hate them. Really, like, drive that sword into him.
It's also leading. He's like, isn't it true that you hate Israel with all of your heart and soul?
Well, I can't say discriminately that I hate Israel completely, but...
The activists are like, they included... some October 7th survivors were at Auschwitz, and pro-Palestinian activists were there, and they staged a stop genocide protest. I mean, what was yesterday? What's the name of the, or is it today?
I believe it's today. Is the, is it the Camp Liberation Day or?
Yeah, there's a Hebrew word for the day, but I forget that. I don't know where it is. Anyway, they walked from Auschwitz to Birkenau, which is roughly 2 miles, and then people start coming out and screaming, "You belong here. This is your place of origin. You left the camps and the ghettos. Long live Palestine." What is happening to humanity, man? literally at the places where millions of Jews were slaughtered, and they're going back to remember this day, and among them survivors of the October 7th massacre and family members of those deceased that were killed and murdered and raped, burnt.
I don't get it, because I know all the protesters try to say, "Well, that's part of the message, is being up in people's faces." You got to read the room, though. At some point, you're not going to get any support for those type of things.
I think they know this. I'm beginning to understand that they know this, and that's what they want. They want more people to be against them. They want more people to hate them, because it gives them the right to act out more and be more forceful. And they have to get their word out of the bubble, whatever. And being the minority here, it works to their benefit. And I really do. I think they deliberately, that's why a lot of people that were just pro-Palestinian on October 9th, you know, in support of the people there, and that's why they grew to support killing Jews. They now support the elimination of Jews. And we've gone from October to today, that's happened. That's quite a leap. And now you're at Auschwitz yelling at Jews, yelling at them that they should be there.
Yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't do anything for the Palestinian people, because all it does is just upset more people. You're not helping them at all.
In fact, helping Palestinians?
Yeah, I think a lot of Palestinians might be going, "Whoa, man, that's you're going too far. We hate Jews, but maybe not yelling at them while they walk past Auschwitz is not the time to do it."
Yeah. Oh, half a dozen protesters saw it as a great opportunity. In a rather perverse manner. Well, that's showing their colors, I suppose. The guy from the boner pill company, Hims, he's having second thoughts. Andrew Dudum, he said on Sunday that his previous comments offering support for anti-Israel protesters on college campuses were misconstrued by some. But it was pretty damn, here's what he said: moral courage, college degree. If you're currently protesting against the genocide of Palestinian people for your university's divestment from Israel, keep going. It's working. There are plenty of companies and CEOs eager to hire you regardless of university discipline. Saying those of you that wanted to go to work for a big law firm or a big whatever firm, and you're afraid that, you know, being arrested and being outed and faced, like many Bill Ackerman and many others have said, we're not hiring you guys. We're going to compile a list. We know who you are, and we're going to circulate that list among our law firms and our like-minded people, and we won't hire you. Now, and Dudum came out to say, "Hey, don't worry about it. If you can't become a lawyer, sell boner pills and hair growing cream over here with me, and we'll give you a job. We love what you're doing." Now he's walking it back. He says, "I in no way condone nor support acts of threats of violence, anti-Semitism, and intimidation. And there's absolutely no justification for violence on our campus." I think what happened here, he says he has family in the West Bank and relatives in Gaza, or allegedly. We don't know. No one's bothered to do the homework for him about it. But he's still got that little fire. He wants to kill a Jew so bad. But then he's like, "Wait a second, I'm a CEO of a multi-million dollar company. I got a pretty fat salary. I'm living the Western dream over here. You know, I'm going to calm the terrorist in me down and go back to living my Western lifestyle and driving my McLaren to work and eating at steakhouses."
Also, his board members called him. because his stock went down $3 over the weekend. So you can make all the statements what you want, but when you're a publicly traded company and you start statements are screwing over your shareholders, you quickly find yourself not being CEO of that company anymore.
Mm. He is a descendant of Palestinian refugees who fled from Nakba in 1948. And as a father whose children are both descendants of Palestinian refugees who fled and descendants of Holocaust survivors in Poland, as I have previously shared, I have personal appreciation for the different perspectives people have, which I live with daily at my dinner table. Man, he's right on the fence now. You know, because money and stuff, you know. He's got kids to feed. Whew. Yeah, It took an 8% drop.
Yeah. And it won't come back.
What do you mean?
It's just not a company that really bounces back usually. Boner Pills just aren't a good stock company.
I mean, not to mention the fact that there are like a billion other competitors out there. It's
exactly.
You know, you could trip on a boner pill on Facebook.
They're just sprinkling boner pills and hair loss gel all over the place. So
here is a breaking news story about whether or not there is a ceasefire.
Breaking news. We were waiting for just a moment a few minutes ago to make sure this was solid. Now the Associated Press is reporting Hamas has reportedly told Qatar and Egypt, the mediators of those countries, Hamas will accept the ceasefire proposal with Israel. Now, this reportedly includes a prisoner swap in addition to a stop in the fighting. The development comes as, of course, we were expecting the Israeli ground operation into Hamas's final stronghold in Rafah. So on the heels of Israel invading where their last stronghold was, where surely there is some Hamas leadership, they say, no, we'll go back to October 6th. Because that's what we're talking about here.
They dropped the leaflets, right? Thousands, tens of thousands of leaflets they dropped all over Rafah. There's tons of news footage of a mass exodus on the roads of Rafah with cars that are loaded down. I got a goat tied to the roof. They're getting the hell out of town. But I also saw this from Rafah this morning. An air raid with a couple of hits at the center of Rafah. You can hear the people getting the hell out of there. So the timing of this, because I saw this, was in my stack prior to that breaking news piece that we played just a second ago. So,
I mean, news takes a little bit of time to get to the front line.
But yeah,
I mean, every war that's had a ceasefire has also had a couple bombs lobbed the last second.
I think that they probably had Hamas probably had their deal ready to rock and give it to their messenger boy. And the leaflets came down. They saw the mass exodus. They're like, do you think they're really going to? Oh, we surrender. We're ready to ceasefire. But prisoner swap has already been done. We're not going to get whatever hostages that are still alive back, and there doesn't seem to be a mention of them.
The ones I've seen is there's 30 of them that they're going to get back in exchange for some Palestinian prisoners.
20 and 33, somewhere between the 20 and 33. Israel helped to put it together, apparently. They have not fully agreed to it. After the initial exchange, there would follow what sources describe as a restoration of sustainable claim, during which the remaining hostages, captive Israeli soldiers and bodies of hostages would be exchanged for more Palestinian prisoners. They've been talking about this Rafah forever since they pulled everything else out.
And they gave them, I mean, it's been a while.
What do you mean, in terms of how long they had to evacuate?
I mean, the assault of Rafah has been, three weeks now, 4 weeks?
What do you mean?
They kind of had a bit of a ceasefire. They were
nothing's gone on for 3 weeks. Yeah. There hasn't been any activity. Anyway, when we return, frat boy summer. It really is frat boy summer. There's a Trump PAC commercial that celebrates these guys. I think it's awesome. I'll play that for you. Also, the Tom Brady roast proves that comedy still has a chance. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show. Don Lemon was on a podcast with Taylor Lorenz from The Post. And, well, I'll let it speak for itself, but she seems to think that if you go to Texas or Florida and you're gay, you'll be tossed off a building, is what I think.
Well, then, Taylor, how do you reconcile the way marginalized groups, many of the people in these marginalized groups, obviously they are fighting for Palestine, right, for the Palestinians and for what's happening in Gaza. But yet in Gaza, they would not have any freedom. You know,
they don't have freedoms in Texas and Florida. Does that mean?
But they don't. But I understand that. But Taylor, I'm a member of the LGBTQ community. If I go to Texas, they're not going to throw me off of a roof. They're not going. Well, then.
Taylor Lorenz, I am absolutely certain, is a far right roboplant. A far left roboplant that does nothing but say the most ridiculously inaccurate.
I'm not 100% sure she's human. She is like, there's a lot of times where you look at her and she's like an alien trying to pretend she's human.
You don't think it's real?
No, because nobody could be in, nobody should be employed that is that insane, where just makes things up most of the time to the point where Don Lemon has to be the same person.
He's the adult in the room.
Yeah.
This is the PAC commercial that pays tribute to the frat guys.
While campuses struggle to get control of their students, at UNC Chapel Hill, they are bringing order back. Students restoring the American flag and singing the national anthem.
Protesters began to take down the American flag, and that's when the guys stepped in.
Patriotic fraternity brothers stepped in and said, "Not today, Hamas."
The group of frat brothers defended the American flag from anti-Israel protesters.
I held the Israeli flag, and they held up the American flag while protesters chanted at us, screamed at us. I was told to kill myself about 50 times, called a white supremacist, a fascist.
They protected the flag for an hour. They were pelted with bottles and rocks,
but they stood strong.
I think the most popular college students right now are the ones at UNC.
God bless those UNC frat guys.
It goes on and on and on. How fortunate. We saw a college trend, and how we were all, obviously people are concerned about how they're cranking out so many social activists. You know, they seem to come mainly from college campuses, but overwhelmingly fraternities are turning are markedly more conservative.
I think a lot more of college campuses conservative than people know. It's those, but they're not out there protesting, or they're not running their mouth. They're going to class. They're using the resources that their $90,000 a year is getting them to get a degree and move on with life.
Right. The latest ABC Ipsos poll showed Trump winning the under 30 by 5 points over Joe Biden, 48-43, largely because of his huge advantage with young men, 54-43%. Morning Joe this morning putting out poll after poll showing Biden winning everywhere and telling everyone else not to believe the other polls that say Trump's winning. I do think that we, you know, I love roasts. They're fantastic. This was a Netflix roast of Tom Brady. Largely, most that I'm going to play for you was arable, terrestrial, not some of it had to have some tweaks. It was brutal at times. Who is the main comedian that does, his name is Tony, it was hosted by Kevin Hart. This guy doesn't seem familiar to me, but he was brilliant. Let me play first the part we had to tweak. It's Edelman.
Yeah, Julian Edelman.
Which is awesome. He's talking to Belichick there. Hold on.
You remember when you used to yell at us? Look, assholes. The f***ing kids down at Foxborough High can make that f***ing play.
I've been waiting for this for so long.
Look, asshole. Foxborough High is the only job offer you f***ing had.
I love these events. Hold on, he's got a little kicker.
Do your job? More like need a job, coach.
Ouch. Because you could say anything.
That's what they're good for. They were designed for that. They were a cathartic release. You could say whatever you want about that person. It was all in good fun.
And the people, well, there was one joke that Rick Ross was going to tell, I think, or
Jeff Ross.
Jeff Ross is going to tell that Tom Brady didn't want him to tell. Yeah. What was it? You know?
I haven't listened. It was something to do with Robert Kraft and the massage parlor thing.
That's open season, man. I'm trying to find out. But this is the best one.
That comedian's name is Tony Hinchcliffe.
Tony. Man, he just killed it.
...of the Giants, which is why Kevin Hart is hosting tonight. All night, he's been using the stool that Aaron Hernandez kicked out from under himself. Kevin is so...
Wow. That, I mean, nobody got hurt there except for Kevin Hernandez. And who wanted to help, you know...
Who's cheering for Aaron Hernandez except for his right. ex. She's all upset this morning now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Night... He's been using the stool that Aaron Hernandez kicked out from under himself. Kevin is so small that when his ancestors picked cotton, they called it deadlifting. Tom Brady is a patriot, which is surprising considering he looks like a Confederate fag.
This is all in comedy. Yeah.
Clearly your ex-wife takes after you. I hear she's out there draining balls right now. People love you, Tom. You have the same fan base as Kyle Rittenhouse. Gronk, I'm happy you could take a break from writing Santa letters to be here today. I knew you were here when we were all out of chocolate milk backstage. You look like the final boss in George Floyd, the video game. Jeff is so Jewish, he only watches football for the coin toss. Nikki has such a bad eating disorder, the industry keeps shoving her down our throat. You might recognize her from her podcast appearances, specials, and winning the Triple Crown at Churchill Downs. You might recognize Kevin as the jockey that rode her, and that's Churchill Downs, the racetrack, not to be confused with what Jeff Ross looks like when he smokes a cigar. Oh. Sam J, an obese African-American lesbian, so by having here, Netflix checked off a lot of boxes. Andrew Schultz, I'm glad you took a break from watching YouTube videos on how to dap up black dudes correctly. Schultz's mom is a professional ballroom dancer, which means she's a stripper that talks too much. Bert Kreischer is the king. He looks like if the Tiger King and the Liver King only ate Burger King and had a liver that looked like Martin Luther King got beat up by Rodney King. And how about the appearance from the great Ron Burgundy, huh? A whale's vagina, which reminds me, Kim Kardashian's here. She's had a lot of black men celebrate in her end zone. Kim, word of advice, close your legs. You have more public beef than Kendrick and Drake.
Now, does she have a good, you know...
I mean, she got up on stage and got absolutely booed as well and seemed to take it in stride. So
she's a good sport about it? I mean, you can't show up at one of these and not expect him.
Yeah, you have to know it.
You're going to get hammered. I think it says a lot. I mean, this is, unfortunately, the only place you see this type of stuff is where that's the specialty of the event. You know, it's not, you wouldn't hear, or I don't know, there's a lot of insult comics out there working these days, but. Other than the, you know, Triumph the Dog, but...
Yeah, a guy who was a roast guy, Anthony Jeselnik, was very dark humor guy.
Yeah, Don Rickles was the best. But, I mean...
I did like, out of all of them, though, the guy that wasn't even there was Eli Manning, and he put on X that I wasn't invited because they didn't want me to roast Tom Brady for a third time after he beat him.
Yeah, how do you get invited to these events?
Usually they'll pick a bunch of comedians, and then I think the host kind of picks some friends of his, or you know, whoever the roastie is picks.
And if he's an athlete, there'll be some of his athlete buddies there.
Exactly.
Well, I didn't even see Gronk. I just saw him pointing at him. And
he was in the crowd looking sad.
Because he wasn't up the front?
No, because I also think they were making... I don't know if he really was... like, why are they roasting me? I'm just here.
Oh, he was there to watch it. Yeah. It wasn't like, so all of the people down on the floor are roastees and roastable.
Usually they're up on the stage.
Right. Well, he's walking around on the stage and then, okay. All right. Yeah. You know, there's going to be some jokes there. I went to this event, Sanford Orlando Kennel Club, on Saturday for the Derby. We go there earlier for the other stuff. Our buddy Mitch takes great care of us. He runs the place. And I don't know squat when it comes to picking horses. And so I get to the event. I forget the guy's name. It's a guy yelled my name, was sitting outside having a cigar and watching the outdoor TV. And I walked up and shook his hand. And he's like, yeah, we had some small talk. I noticed he had a program. And I'm like, who do you got? I mean, I don't know anything. I'm just going to put some money down and you'll see what happens. He goes, oh, Mystic Dan, but I don't know anything about anything. He's 20-1 or whatever. And I should have put a lot more money. I don't know what I did. I had like a couple hundred bucks in cash with me, which is unusual. But I sold my pimp earlier in the day. So I said, all right, just 10 bucks. I just want to get back to my seat. The place is nuts in there. People losing money all the time. It's throwing their dead tickets in the air. The floor's littered with all the, you know, useless tickets. We went home. I was there a couple of hours, went home. The race didn't start till 6. I cooked some fajitas. The boys came over for, you know, the 5th. And I, damn if I didn't win by a nose. I think I'm gonna go by there on my way home and get my money.
Just, yeah, and then spend it all. Just, I don't know.
Just let it ride. Let it ride. We did the same thing last year, and Kim bought a ticket for, I forget, you know. And we went again, and this is, well, good thing she brought the tickets. Been on the fridge on a magnet forever. And I said, honey, better get that ticket. Now, today's the day. And they said, good thing you brought it in today, because after today it would be no good. They're only good for a year.
Well, now you have a year to go get your 100 bucks.
I'm thinking about a way I scoot by there after we get off the air. Get my money before they lose it. Shall we hear from our listeners? And Heather has answers.
She can't wait to get up in your business.
Yes. Yes.
So indulge her. Send her your highly personal, deeply disturbed questions to heatherhasanswers@gmail.com.
Boom. heatherhasanswers@gmail.com. You know, your relationship issues, family stuff, we like that. We'll coach you through an issue with your boss, those type of things.
Oh, today is fun.
All right, let's hear it.
Dear guys, husband has a secret trip planned. When, how should I ruin it? My name is Delilah. You can use it on air. We'll call my husband James today. We've been married for 4 years, both in our late 20s. As far as appearances, I know you like that. We both work out. I use the gym at work. He lifts weights at home. Well, James told me he has a guy's trip to another state to take. He has a pass of infidelity with one certain girl. I forgave him stupidly. Something was telling me that things weren't adding up when he informed me of his trip. He was still signed into my email. I found the tickets, and it's to a completely different international location. I know I'm leaving, but any suggestions on the best way of doing it? I feel spiteful and want to send an enjoy your trip when they land, just to mess him up from the start and have all my stuff moved out by the time he gets back. She knows he's married as well. Both are terrible people, but he's the one I want to hurt. I pay for all the bills as I am the main breadwinner. He spent $40 on a birthday breakfast for me and is flying her to another country.
Wow.
It's a spit in the face. Please don't tell me to just move out. This has been the plan for a while. And I just want to do something spiteful. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Delilah.
Okay. I want to clarify some things. Okay. Earlier she said he has a pass with a certain girl.
Yes.
A past or a pass?
A past.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, some people have a celebrity pass. Like, if you, okay, all right, Shannon, if you ever run in, you know, to, you know, her, you can have sex with. So she found that he is meeting a girl. Does she know the girl? And they're going to another country for a little rendezvous.
Yeah.
Still cheating if it's another country, buddy.
Yeah. So now she just wants to get him back. Like, does she send a card for, like, have it set up in his hotel room? Hope you enjoy your trip, or like something like that.
Oh my God, that would be great. Call the, if she knows the hotel, call them and say, listen, it's a very special day for this couple.
We want bed bugs and scorpions.
No, a very special day for this couple. and say that she is the friend of the girl, of the woman in the couple, and we and send or whatever, and send up a card that says something that doesn't sound bad, but the dude's gonna really know it's bad when he reads the. They'll see some flowers or something or some candy. He's like, oh look, the hotel sent us a nice little thing, and you open it up, and it's, you know, bad news. No. Not enough?
I mean, what kind of bad news, though? Like, I mean, she wants it shocking.
Like, I want you to really enjoy this trip and have the time of a lifetime. Signed, love your ex-wife, Delilah.
Yeah, you're soon to be spiteful enough, though. Come on.
I mean, I'm not going to suggest she violate international laws exactly. and commit crimes, you know, upon people.
Of course not.
I don't know. You could be really super spiteful and somehow let the law enforcement at the airport that he's landing at, that he may or may not be carrying a large amount of cocaine in his carry-on.
And in his butt.
Yeah, he loves to keep suitcase stuff, too. Be careful. He usually keeps a .22 up there.
I mean, not to break any laws, I don't know how much money she wants to spend, but I would suggest maybe buying a singing telegram person, like multiple ones, and just have them continually going to the hotel over and over again, and just whatever they want, she has to sing. But just don't let that guy ever have a moment of rest there. Be like, hey, I want you to singing telegram at 2 a.m. I want you to singing telegram at maybe have like a clown show up with some balloons. Just, I mean, I don't know how much money she wants. It's not illegal.
It's going to get really expensive.
Yeah,
and certainly move out at the same time. How, I guess it's a weekend trip, huh? Or a quick little trip.
I have no idea, but that's her plan. She's going to be out. By the time
I'm sure
back.
our listeners will definitely be contributing. I mean, remarks.
She's going to move out. Make sure the power's shut off. So also leave the fridge door open.
No,
which
leave
is
it
whatever.
Closed. Leave the fridge door closed.
Yeah,
no,
it's
because
extra funkadelic in there.
Yeah, but it stays cold longer if you leave it. If you open it up and just let it immediately heat up in the state of Florida with as hot as it is,
yeah, open the windows
and you'll have milk blowing up in that area.
Oh, that's a fun
idea.
You
want to barf just thinking about curdled milk.
Yeah.
There you go.
Dear Heather has answers. I might be a jerk for not caring that my wife overdosed. I'll keep this as short as possible. Basically, my wife cheated on me. Oh. I won't get into much detail about the affair, but it lasted 2 years. And since I discovered the affair, I've gone back to my family estate, sent her divorce papers, and practically ignored her. A few days ago, her mom called me to let me know that she overdosed on pills, and she would appreciate if I would come visit her as my wife wants to see me. I refused and stated that I don't care and proceeded to mute her. I firmly believe that I made the right choice, but basically nobody in my family or my wife's family believes I made the right choice apart from my father and brother. And honestly, I don't know what to do. Am I really the a-hole here? Robert, streaming live every day from Tennessee. Love the show.
She OD'd on pills.
Yeah. And he's like, it's not my problem. She cheated on me. I'm done.
And they're not together anymore. They're still married, but she's out. They're separated and they've moved out from one another. And yes. She's living with the dude she's been banging for 2 years.
Yes.
That's his problem.
That's his problem.
I mean, you could be a human being about it and just maybe send her a you know, hey, sorry to hear about your, you know, overdose. hope all is well.
Or not. You don't have to feel bad at all.
You don't.
You've moved on with your life. You've moved on. You put the divorce papers. You weren't together anymore. Some people have that attachment. I don't. It's usually...
She probably had some near-death experience and realized that she needs to be with you and not the dude she's with. I don't know if he had anything to do with her pill problem or, you know.
Not his
But he shouldn't have to feel obligated to do anything.
Yeah, Robert, stay home.
A lot of people like that, you know. I mean, is it okay to be cold?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, that people will not like their... That's why he's saying, well, my mom and my sisters and her family don't get it. No, there is no attachment anymore. It's the relationship was over. The time happened. I don't have that attachment anymore. They're basically dead to me to begin with. So
how long has this been since they haven't been together?
You got me. Hold on.
I mean, he's already sent divorce papers, so.
I don't know, but the affair lasted 2 years.
Yeah. You don't owe her anything. Yeah. 2 years.
And what are they? What, they want you to come in and cry over her casket?
She's alive, though, right?
Yeah, she's alive.
She made it.
So, yeah, then even worse.
Yeah,
I don't
she's
care.
Good. Call me when she's dead. I'll send some flowers.
Yeah.
Oh, my
Really, though, yeah. Oh, she had an OD and lived through it. Now, would you want me to come back and beg her to come back? Yeah, I'm better off now.
Yeah, what does she want? Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I'm with you guys.
All right, I have one more.
That's not a dick thing to do, dude. You're all right. Yeah, go ahead.
No,
we got time.
I think it's okay. Dear FMR, which means Florida Man Radio, FML, which I'm not going to say on air. My husband cheated with a man. I had pictures. His mom snooped. His parents are making his life difficult, and I might be the asshole. I kicked my husband out of the house. It was my house prior to us getting married, and it remains my house now. I knew when I married him that he was bisexual. I was okay with that as long as he understood that we are monogamous. I said that I would never agree to an open relationship, and if that's what he wanted, he needed to be with someone else. He agreed and said that I was the person he wanted to be with and that I was more than enough to satisfy him. He lied. I found out he was having an affair with a man. I went through his iPad and took all the pictures for myself, graphic, in a Mapplethorpe kind of way, and I had to look that up. And apparently, Mapplethorpe was a photographer.
Yeah, fisting. Took a bunch of gay, naked photographs, black and whites, and one of them was a fisting photograph.
Okay, that I did not stumble upon. Okay.
Probably a good thing. Yeah. Poor Heather wouldn't be able to deal with that if you saw that on the screen. I probably had to go home.
When I confronted him, he became physically aggressive. I was scared. He calmed down when I got Siri to call 911, and he left. Anyway, I did not want him in my house ever again, and when he wanted his things, I asked him to make a list and send it to me. I found every single thing on his list. I asked him where to send the box. He said he'd pick it up. I told him that I would not let him set foot in my house and that I would have the cops called if he tried. He said he would send friends to get it. I said I would leave his box of crap at the front desk at my work. He didn't want to make them drive into the city. We compromised and I agreed to give his parents a temporary code to my house, and they are lovely people and I trusted them. I could see everything with my security system and I would know if he tried getting into my house. The deal was that they would use the code, get the box from the front entrance, close the door, everything, easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
What happened?
I guess he didn't have everything on the list and he asked them to get something from my bedroom. Not the deal. I had my pictures of his infidelity in my room in my chest of drawers in an envelope. To reiterate, to find these pictures, his mom had to go past our agreed limit into the house and into our bedroom, open all this, and find it. I feel violated watching the video, and then I giggled like a little kid. It was hilarious. I see them come into my house. They use the code, open the door. His dad comes in and grabs the box. He goes back to their vehicle with the box. His mom hesitates before walking into my house and going to my room. She goes to the chest, opens the top drawer where she kept a box full of jewelry, sees an envelope with his name on it. She looks around, I'm not sure why, and then she looks at the contents and screams. I assume, at least. I have my feed only on video. And then she stuffs the pictures back in, closes the drawer, and goes running to the truck. My father-in-law comes to the door, locks it, and they leave.
Wow.
I guess he never told his parents about his proclivities.
And she didn't out him either.
No. And to say all this has created a problem is to take it lightly. I get a call from him. He says I left the pictures out for his parents to find. I did not. I should have scattered them on top of the box where his parents picked up, but I felt that was cruel and unnecessary. Like I've always said, they've always been lovely people.
So, we're getting short on time.
Yeah. She's just asking, is she the jerk because he's making this all seem like it's her fault? She says, I did not cause the problem, but he thinks it's my fault.
No, tell her that you've got the video of her going through her top drawer, which is not part of the agreement. I had them in there for my own personal reasons, maybe to help with the divorce or whatever. But you know, at the end, though, she needs to be careful because those were his property on his iPad, and she's got copies of them now. So she's got to be very careful about how she uses them.
You can say revenge porn
will get you some 3 to 5 years in jail. So you don't want to play around in that neighborhood.
It doesn't sound like she's going to try that.
But, you know, maybe their friends they had together was like, hey, why'd you divorce Tom? He's a good fella. Oh, here you go. Take a look at these pictures. God dang.
Also,
that's why we're at where we're at.
Call the cops. I don't know why people, that's such a, I don't know if it's such a taboo, but
about going through the drawer?
Well, no, when you're doing a property exchange, they will come out there. They'll send an officer. He'll stand there. Here's the box here. I need one more thing out of there. The officer will be like, is it okay? Yes, you can go in there and grab. Do that. It causes so much less problems. Yeah, you get the stuff out of there.
But if the cops were there, Mama wouldn't got to see a picture of her little prince with his wiener, you know, and God knows where.
In the old Mapplethorpes.
I think she got her revenge. What a great story. Thanks for sending that one. Heather has answers at gmail.com. That's a great example of the stuff we like to hear. Thank you. Thank you, Heather. When we return, we're going to get down on your remarks. Jeff Bezos moved to Florida, invested $60 million into lab-grown meat. In a hilarious turn of events, Ron DeSantis then banned it from the state. Hang on, it's the Shannon Burke Show.
Radio.
Well, Jack Smith's case is falling apart. Prosecutors admitted in court on Friday in a filing there are some boxes that where the order of items within that box is not the same as the associated scans. The prosecutors previously told the court that the documents were in their original intact form as seized. The government acknowledges that this is inconsistent with what the government counsel previously understood and represented in the court. It comes after one of the co-defendants asked for a delay as his lawyers were having trouble figuring out the origin of some of the documents in the evidence boxes. They seized 33 boxes from Mar-a-Lago. So the case is slated ahead of trial May 20th, though that's obviously going to change. Judge Cannon unredacted a trove of documents in some 300 pages of the case, including correspondence that showed the Biden administration's contact with the NARA the year prior to the document seizure. He had previously publicly said he wasn't involved in the case, Biden. Though the filings show that other White House officials were also involved in the early stages of the investigation prior to the FBI raid. That one seems to be unraveling. They said the Archives General Counsel sent a letter to Trump, to the records representative in 2021 about roughly 24 boxes where they were. His letter indicated the team was looking for, quote, the original correspondence between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and the letter that President Obama left for President Trump on his first day in office. So there was, this thing's going to fall apart. It's not going to get anywhere. Trump's going to, if he's elected, then he makes it go away. Yeah. Fires the guy.
This
right?
one is a mess. They've been caught now planting evidence. Basically, I mean, they have admitted now that they put stuff into the boxes that weren't there when they did the original scans, or they moved stuff around to different boxes. They've also admitted that all those pictures they took that originally they said, oh, well, we opened up one box, took and this was what was there. And now they're finding out that those they've run the numbers against them. Like, wait, this is in box A and this is box 12. Why were they both on the floor?
That means you just scattered them on the floor.
Did you just reach into random boxes and pick out different ones to put out there?
Yeah. Who knows? It doesn't go anywhere. Fulton County Prosecutor Nathan Wade, former boyfriend, well, maybe still, of Fonnie Willis, has spoken out about his workplace romance. He said he did have certain regrets about the relationship, but he defended the integrity of the case. And he said, quote, workplace romances are as American as apple pie. It happens to everyone. It happened to the two of us. Is it as American as apple pie? Because don't many places say you can't bang your coworkers?
Yeah, most places will fire you for that.
Really? Yeah. They'll let you go?
Yeah. It's a lot of places do not allow interpersonal relationships in the office.
Well, it's just as American as apple pie. He said, I regret that private matter became the focal point of this very important prosecution. This is a very important case. I hate that my personal life has begun to overshadow the true issue of the case. Oh,
and it was never about their relationship. It was the fact that they were, one, using him as a go-between between them and the White House.
Right.
And then also using county funds to go on lavish vacations while you were doing that.
And paying him enormous sums of money.
For an unqualified guy.
Especially compared to the two other attorneys that you had hired as well. Wasn't it the white dude that she paid the least?
Yeah, who was a guy that was actually a known prosecutor for that crime.
Yeah, for the Verrico crimes, yeah. I don't know about American as apple pie. I mean, I know it happens.
Yeah, it happens, but it's not something that everybody's proud of.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to, I bet you would wander through all these offices and be like, knock on their door, like, hey, just give me a, how many people in here are banging? Just like a quick hands up. Anybody? Are you? One, two, three. Okay. And then move on to the next.
It happens. Maybe it happens under the table. You don't really know. You know. But then.
Yeah.
You
there's
know.
Been some relationships that build from workplace stuff, and then there's some hanky panky that goes on the side, and there's the old 1960s Mad Men s slap the secretary on the ass type of work relationship too. But those don't
men
exist
were
much.
Men. Damn it. He's had an appearance on Good Morning America. Why would he have go on Good Morning America?
Because they're trying to salvage that case too, and they're hoping that he goes on there and just go, yeah, everybody has affairs, and they're like, oh, you're right.
Love is like a freight train. You can't stop it.
What kind of statement is that? Is like American, like apple pie. Like that's just something everybody. Come on, you've never worked in an office where everybody's having affairs? Or
I mean, if you worked at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Man, you might have a dude, one guy that goes, blows through the waitstaff, you know?
Yeah, that's very true. But that's, I think that's kind of expected there.
Yeah, that's true. Should we get to these remarks?
Yes.
Let's do it.
From the Florida Man Radio app and powered by Morganic Meats, it's time for your remarks. Just don't be stupid.
Boom, a great place to catch up with the archives. If you missed a show of this program and the Don Miller Show, you can call the show, text the show, and leave us a little message. Just hit the little microphone button.
Now, you guys are sounding so ridiculous to normal people. How you can sit here and just support a dude who can't behave himself in court and think that normal people want that guy as president? How about he sit there and shut up? You're way off on thinking that he's a shoo-in for president.
Well, first of all, he's not being held in contempt for anything he said in court. He's quiet during court, often closing, as he says, his beautiful blue eyes just to think.
To the point where they think he's sleeping.
Yeah. Everything that he's been held in contempt for are things that he said outside the courtroom, which you or I, had we been involved in any case, nobody would say anything about it. We'd just say this case is a sham. That's got him fined another $1,000. And I don't know. Maybe we're right, buddy.
And, you know, the polls say what they say. There's still, even the numbers that Biden's winning, it's still 44 to 50% of the American people are what you say are not normal.
Right. I guess that there's a lot of Americans that aren't normal. But, 80 million voting age Americans that just aren't normal.
It's kind of funny to see everybody's fears all of a sudden come to light. And they're like, oh, listen, we really thought we'd get rid of this guy by now. Now we're screwed, man. We've really done him wrong. And now what?
You're right.
Eric was absolutely right. I think there's a lot of high-profile people are scared to death of Trump because they're going to get in trouble. They're wanting to leave and threatening to leave and all this crap, all these actors and actresses saying they're going to leave the country if Trump becomes president. Why? What are they hiding from? They're running from something. Sound a little guilty to me.
I think a lot of the actors and actresses, though, are just narcissists. They're the ones that believe, like De Niro, like he really thinks that
Trump's coming after him.
Trump's
going to
get sworn in, and his first thing to do is call out, all right, Secret Service, go get De Niro.
Go get De Niro. His career is over.
Robert De Niro is basically just trying to kiss Hollywood's ass because his career's on a little bit on the downtrodden. His peak days are over with. So when you get people like the John Mellencamp and the Richard Marx, nobody has heard from that guy from I don't know how many years. One hit wonder band guy, and then he comes back and trashes Trump, so he thinks he can get back in the realms of the cult leaders of Hollywood. That it's all a common denominator. They're all doing this to kiss ass. That's all they're doing it for.
Oh my goodness, listen to that girl complain about having consequences. She sounds like a bag of issues, like the issues run so deep, she's just constantly crying and upset because life is terrible.
She was like halfway between crying and laughing.
Oh, now I can't walk down the aisle and graduate. I didn't realize you're such a jackass.
That's so annoying. Good Lord.
Todd Natona, Shando, I think you're kind of missing the point of the mispronunciation of Gaza. Clearly, these people are Wu-Tang Clan fans. You know, you got the Dizza, the Bizza,
Dizza,
and the old dirty, whatever that is. But Dizza. Yeah, Wu-Tang forever, baby. Bitu bitu.
Yilza.
I'm just more worried that he keeps changing every time.
Like, it's Izza, Aza, Gaza.
I think it's because as he's hunger striking, he's converting more and more. Because now he started, he threw in the all praise to Allah. And then what was the other Muslim term he tossed in there too? That he's never, the first time they interviewed him, he sounded white as all get out. And now all of a sudden he's like over time throwing in more.
Right,
and
right.
He's getting from Gaza to. And,
next it'll be. Ooh.
Hey, Shannon, question for the ladies, follow up on what Kate said on Friday. If you feast or wash your Winklevoss, do you still need Lumi?
Okay.
There will be no flaccidity in your vicinity with help from the erection clinic.
Oh, I like that.
Jewish people need boners, too.
Didn't that chick Delilah say that he was logged into her email and it sent to her? Man, he set this up on purpose. He wanted her to see that because he wanted that bitch gone when he gets back. Case closed.
Ah, he thinks it's a plant.
Easier ways than not getting all your stuff thrown out in the front lawn.
That's true. Having your mom see. Oh, that's a different one.
Hey, Delilah, don't be a dumb clam. Move on.
What an insult.
Hey, guys, this is for Heather Has Answers about the getting the even, the spiteful lady. I would report his passport as stolen after he's already taken off and landed. Maybe that'll cause him some issues getting back home. And it's something that she could say, oh, well, no, I didn't realize you're out of the country.
Yeah.
Pretty obvious at this point the left knows they don't have enough bogus votes this time around to bounce Trump. So the only thing they could do is throw him in jail, and in this way when he gets elected, then they're all on the same footing. They're a bunch of criminals who hold office. Now they can say he's an actual criminal that holds office, even though it's all BS. I don't know. I can't think of any other reason to throw him in jail other than that. Beat him, beat him.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
The guy that was going on an international trip with his girlfriend, the wife should take his passport and hide it. That would really screw him. Be-doo, be-doo.
Or if you left his passport, you let him get it, but somehow you adulterated it in such a way that they wouldn't accept it.
Yeah, just draw mustaches all over it on the picture.
I think I just played that one.
No way can we have lab-grown meat in Florida, especially when Jonathan Morris is trying to get all his meat business going. Come on, we can't put that guy out of business.
The Senate signed legislation, SB 1084, went into effect on May 1, casting it as a bid to stop the World Economic Forum's goal of forcing the world to eat lab-grown meat and insects. Florida is increasing meat production and encouraging residents to continue to consume and enjoy 100% real Florida beef. There you have it.
Todd Natona, about the fella whose ex-wife OD'd and her family wants him to reach out to her. Do whatever your heart tells you is right, man. I was involved in a long-term relationship with a nice lady who had daughters, and she died tragically when we were hit by a drunk driver. Right after that, they yanked the kids away from me, and I never saw them again, even though I tried.
Oh.
And there's a whole lot more to that, but just do what your heart feels right, man. In the end, be right to you. Beat a beat him.
To the guy who's cheating ex OD'd, send her a gift wrap box with a cheap pen inside on the card. Say, I hope you get well soon. Sign the damn divorce papers already. Beedoo beedoo.
Yeah.
I do love the opposite sides of our remarks.
But, you know, you know how it's going to go. She'll brand you as a cold-hearted bastard, you know, and then you'll have to go, well, she cheated for 2 years, and it'll, you know, just keeps it.
Just ignore her and say, you speak to my lawyer. We're divorced. There's nothing more we need to talk about.
Tell her, or you just tell her mother who called you, say, yeah, I'll stop by and see her if it's to pick up the signed divorce papers. No problem.
Yeah, I'm a gambling man, so I'm going to pick the over 2.5 that Sparky and Star Trek guy leave messages on the first segment. Over 2.5 each. Let's go, boys.
Neither one is
that good
yet.
I missed part of Delilah's letter. If she's married, she should hire a sheriff and have him served either as he's boarding the flight or on the flight, or once he's welcome to the hotel at his destination. Otherwise, you can easily find ways to make this dude's life miserable, which he absolutely deserves. What a dick. Beedoo beedoo.
Yeah. Served at port? Is that what he meant?
He was talking about that apple pie from the movie American Pie, obviously. You know, the one that the kid stuck his penis in.
Come on.
Come on, guys. Clinton got a little bit of work in the Oval Office. Relationships at work. Is as American as apple pie. Come on.
Also, you know, got him impeached. And
right, all that. Right, yeah. Yeah, did get him impeached. I don't think people are... Was that a relationship or just him just getting his knob?
Yeah, he wasn't going to marry Monica Lewinsky anytime soon.
I love it when Liberal Larry starts off the show. Man, he's on a tear today. He's got his panties in a bunch. I tell you what, seen this video of Biden, and he pauses right in the middle of this little patch of concrete, and it looks like he's taking a dump in his drawers. And Jill's over there just looking at him like crazy. Beedoo beedoo, boy, what a great day.
Just every time he stands or walks or, you know, and you get a full view of him, he's always kind of hunched or.
Yeah, that's why they're now trying to cover him with somebody at all times.
Like somebody walks next to him so they can't see his gait.
And how slow he's going. So, which, of course, now you have a bunch of younger.
KJP's got to slow her walk down.
Yeah.
I walk slow, too. Everybody walks slow, Mr. President. Why not?
All passports have chips in them. Put it in the microwave and zap it for about 20 seconds. Chip would be ruined. He'll never get out of the country.
Man, is there probably some law against...
Yeah, I believe tampering with federal documents is
that's
probably
what
against the law somewhere along the way. But
yeah. I mean, not forging it. Or, you know, maybe they'll never catch you. Who knows? He may have walked too close to some guy microwaving a burrito at a 7-Eleven with a passport in his pocket.
Yep, just remember the views and opinions are those of the hosts and callers and not those of JC Broadcasting.
Sorry, should have clarified. Have him serve divorce papers. Beedoo beedoo.
Well, she has the divorce papers, right? Oh, have the other dude who's flying internationally to meet his girl served. Those are the remarks for this hour. There's one more. We do it again in the final. Wait.
That's right. I had sexual contact with that woman. I traded my saxophone for harmonica. Beedoo beedoo.
That's a horrible plan, sir. I take personal offense to that. We do it again in the final hour of the program. Hit the app up and hit the little button at the bottom. Some breastfeeding. We'll get to this. The breastfeeding mothers. Got on a lactation Facebook page, right? You know, they're new moms. And
of course, yeah, everybody's got their favorite lactation Facebook page.
They
got
to learn, you know, about it. And so the person who ran this page called themselves a lactation consultant, and the moms were asked to and provided naked pictures and videos of them breastfeeding. And now they fear they might have been scammed.
How long did it take them to figure out?
Wow. Yeah, that's, you know, first of all, why would you need to send nude, completely naked pictures of you to a lactation consultant?
And also, don't, if his screen name is Mommy Milkers 420, do not send him pictures.
Wow. She one lady made sure that didn't show her face. She didn't know who was behind the profile. But you gotta look into these things. They describe feeling tremendous pressure as breastfeeding their babies. They recommend exclusive breastfeeding approximately the first 6 months. Blah blah blah. Many having difficulties and not being able to get their medical help online. Take the social media. And somewhere, some dude is masturbating to a picture of you nude breastfeeding your baby.
Go to a doctor. Go to an actual lactation consultant, not your Facebook group.
We're getting dark?
Have you ever wanted to get away?
Oh, yeah.
Like, really get away and become a hermit up in the mountains for the rest of your life?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to talk to you about some of the most well-known hermits.
There's well-known hermits?
There are some well-known hermits, and they got away.
What do you mean?
Like, they just left society.
And never to be seen again?
Well, they were seen. You can't, you're not the best hermit unless you're seen, because otherwise you're...
Oh, then no one knows you're a hermit, yeah. It's like a hide-and-seek champion of the world. All right, we'll do it next. It's the Shannon Burke Show. Sad to this guy. I don't know. Part of me wants him to be arrested, but a dude, he said, I can't remember the other times this video has helped me sleep. This guy used to do videos. He's in Ormond Beach, Florida. He's retired. He did a tutorial video and sold it on VHS tape in 1989 on how to use Microsoft Word. It has garnered 3.1 million views on YouTube because it's helping people fall asleep. It's been dubbed the most boring video ever made. He got a text from someone that said, I can't remember the number of times this video has helped me sleep. I want this played at my funeral so people don't forget how interesting I was. He's a former motivational speaker, taught presentation skills. He has a voice that's not so much boring as it is comforting. And it turns out that his voice and delivery combined with irrelevant subject matter makes the video perfect for people to fall asleep.
I listened to it. It is very, very boring. It's just Ben Stein, monotone, drony.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's just a normal guy, but it's him talking about Microsoft Windows in the 80s, and it's that old VHS where, you know, the sound always kind of just bends as it going when the music plays. It's always the most terrible music beds and
right,
and it's just him talking, but it is very, very boring.
Apparently, people play Bob Ross on loops.
Yeah, because he's soothing.
Yeah. Hey, but listen, happy little clouds up here. He said, while somebody who has no interest in Microsoft Word would be watching this, especially such an old version, I have no idea.
Who would be watching it, period, if they even have my interest in Microsoft Word?
In the the first or second Microsoft Word there ever was. Wow. That's pretty amazing.
I'm just amazed at the amount of people that do go looking for boring people talking to fall asleep.
Right. There's a guy here that has a, he's a trained vocal performer's boss. He was once told he had a boring voice. Now he has a great side hustle. He has a podcast called I Can't Sleep, a boring podcast. It's into his family's livelihood since being laid off back in January. His episodes have been downloaded 10 million times. And he doesn't even have to write down his own material. He just slowly reads entire Wikipedia entries. Recent gripping subjects include seahorse, utility pole, beard, pasta, and automated teller machine. He said the challenges for his listeners is, can they stay awake for a whole episode? He's got 54 episodes up there with requests pending, some of which say, like, how about reading about skeletons, for example? That's one lady that listens to it religiously. She has restless leg syndrome, has trouble sleeping, but put that on at bedtime, she goes right to bed.
Just a dude reading Wikipedia entries.
In a boring voice. I wonder what a boring voice is.
It's just
a delivery,
or is it just a delivery of the way he, like, he's not trying to be interesting in any way.
Right. He just, then you click on this icon and bring it over here. And it, yeah.
And the video is like an hour and 30 minutes long. So it's perfect for somebody that needs to, like, 30 minutes to fall asleep.
Right. I don't know if stuff, I mean, I've used, because Kem used sound stuff, then some aromatherapy stuff, and now it's just a little THC tincture right before she goes to bed. Out like a light.
I have to have the TV on.
I can sleep with the TV on easily.
Yeah, I have to have the TV on. If it's, like, dead silent, there's too much stuff that, like, noises banging, my cat's running around, that, like, wake me up instantly. So I got to have the TV to drone out whatever else is going on in the house.
I can hear water moving in my big aquarium around the corner from the bedroom in the other room, lightly in the background. I think that probably helps me. Doesn't hurt that a mouse fart in the front yard will send an 80-pound dog and a 7-pound dog bolting out of the bed. Like,
yeah, so I just have a big fat-ass cat that likes to jump around. And the only time she gets exercise seems to be about that time at night. So.
Cats only F around at night.
Yeah. And she just smashes through things, so.
Let's get dark.
Let's do that.
It's Disturbing History with EZ. There's a lot of history out there. Some of it isn't in the books.
Sometimes you just want to leave society. For whatever reason, you could either be upset with the world, don't like the way the government's going. You're the Unabomber and just like hiding out in the woods. Sometimes you just become a hermit.
It's not healthy.
I guess some people it is. People like Kaczynski, he needed to be out in the woods because that was the only thing keeping him semi-sane.
Yeah, he didn't like people.
There's a lot of people that I think their happiness is also just being away from everybody else. And sometimes you get to be a hermit.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about being a hermit is after you've done it for a long time, then other people reference you as the hermit. Like, you're known around town as, he's coming out for some supplies. That's Tom the hermit.
He lives up in the hills somewhere.
Yeah, you know, the only thing you got to really worry about is all the kids coming by and, you know, messing with you, because it starts to become like some sort of rite of passage to.
Let's go pee on the hermit.
Bet you can't knock on the hermit's door. He'll steal your soul. But history's had some great ones. In fact, we'll start with one that he was named that. Anthony the Great.
Anthony the Great?
Mm-hmm. He lived around 251 AD.
And he was a hermit?
He was a hermit, yeah. He was born in central Egypt. Anthony was raised by Christian parents, and he attended church regularly. Described as an obedient and attentive youth, Anthony lost his mother and his father when he was only 18 years old. Less than 6 months after his death, he overheard a sermon that changed his life. The man spoke. Man began to preach of a dude named Jesus.
A dude named Jesus?
Yeah, some guy named Jesus. Saying to sell your belongings to the poor and follow him in order to receive treasure in heaven.
Hmm.
Anthony quickly sold everything his parents had left.
Wow.
Entrusted the care of his sister to a household of virgins. Hey, back in the day when you could take your virgin sister and, like, hey, nobody's ever going to marry you. Go hang out with these other virgins.
Yeah,
good
all
luck.
You virgins stay together.
And he immediately began living a life of asceticism.
Asceticism?
Yeah, hermetism. He headed off. apart from the normal.
Where do you go if you're a hermit? Do you have to live in a cave?
He lived in the desert.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, it was Egypt. There wasn't a lot of places. I mean, there's, if you lived in a neighborhood, those are the type of hermits that they find your body after like 3 weeks after you've been dead, too, because your neighbor's like, what is that smell?
Oh, it's the old hermit maybe died.
Apart from the normal danger of living in solitary life in the desert, Anthony, he also had some other issues.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he fought the devil.
He did.
Yeah, he said to squared off against the devil, who tempted him with phantasms of sexual allurement.
Phantasms?
Of sexual allurement.
Interesting.
I don't know what Satan offered him, because he was able to fend off Satan, who appeared to him personally under the guise of a young black boy. I don't know what sexual allurement young black boy Satan was offering him.
Pervert.
Yeah. But he's widely regarded as the father of monks. Anthony died at the age of 105.
Wow.
Allegedly. I mean,
solitary living suited him.
Many of his sayings were collected into the Book of Sayings of the Fathers. Sometimes you end up in that hermit life because you hate your local government type of thing. That's where William Wilson, or William Amos Wilson, he kind of fell into. It's a sad story for him. Story began in 18th century Pennsylvania, involves his sister Elizabeth. A sexual relationship with sister, nothing with that. His sister was actually tricked into having sex with a man named Joseph Desham.
Tricked?
Yeah, Joseph said, Elizabeth, I am going to love you forever and ever. We are going to get married now. Give it up. And apparently Elizabeth fell for that whole...
Then she said, trick you.
That was a little bit of the phantasms of sexual allurement again. He pretended to have marriage in mind. In reality, though, he just wanted that booty, I guess. He had no intention of marrying her.
Said anything to get that booty.
And when she gave birth to twins, he followed her home and lured Elizabeth and the newborns into the woods, where he murdered the two newborns and fled the scene. Well, when the old officers showed up, they found Elizabeth in the wood with two dead babies, claiming it was her ex-husband, her ex-boyfriend, and they did not believe her. So Elizabeth was convicted of the crime and sentenced to death. William pleaded with the governor to release her, and eventually the pardon was granted. The problem was, it was 18th century, so it was a little difficult between that time when you go to plead with the governor to get the pardon, he hands you the pardon, you go back to tell the guys, hey, I got a pardon, don't hang my sister.
Too late?
Yeah.
Oh.
Just by about a day.
Damn.
Discouraged and saddened by his sister's fate and by the injustice of society, because Joseph Deschong was never found, so the guy... had sex with his sister and murdered the babies
and left.
Yeah. William headed back to his birthplace and lived in a cave for the last 19 years of his life, gaining the nickname the Pennsylvania Hermit.
That's why
He actually supported himself by making millstones, eschewing any other contact with civilization. But after his death, his writings were published in a number of different newspapers. Then there was Gerasimus.
Gerasimus?
Gerasimus of Georgia, of Jordan. He was unknown when he actually lived, but he did die in 475 AD, so you can, subtract some years off his life anywhere in that 100 range, so anywhere in that time period. Gerasimus was born in Lycia in Asia Minor, born into a relatively wealthy family. He decided to become a monk and head into the Jordanian desert to live a life of solitude. However, his lifestyle and his ideas attracted followers, which seems to happen when you want to get away from everybody and everybody hears about how you're doing a great job and then they start bugging you.
Yeah.
That's like the worst thing, to be a hermit and all of a sudden other people are like, hey, can you teach me about the hermit lifestyle? And your whole thing is like, I wanted to be a hermit. Please leave me alone.
Yeah. You can't unhermit a hermit if that's what he wants to be.
However, his lifestyle and his ideas attracted followers, and he eventually built a monastery near the Jordan River for them all to stay in, probably to keep them away from him. His strict rules were followed by the tenants of the monastery, with Gerasimus going so far as to only allow the eating of bread, dates, and water during the week. Cooked food and wine was allowed on the weekend.
Cooked?
Yeah, food? So you were only allowed bread, dates, and water during the week. That was it. It had to be raw.
Oh,
Then on the weekends you could have...
dates? I bet you just had the squirts all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, just...
And it's the desert, so...
maybe the bread...
you're scraping up like a cat in the desert, just always... the bread probably locked it all up, though, too. A story for which Gerasimus is best known is that of the lion with a thorn in its paw. Lion limped up the saint with its paw in the air, clearly in pain. Gerasimus removed the thorn from its paw, and the lion would not leave his side after that. So he picked up a lion, which is pretty badass.
Yeah, thorn from the paw.
It was given the name Jordan to send to be a guardian to the donkey, which Gerasimus sent to fetch water. When he died, the lion was distraught and lay down on his grave, refusing to move, and died a few days later. So.
It's a hermit life.
Hermit life. You get a sweet lion. The lion's sad, heartbroken.
You have to live alone to have a lion. You can't bring it into the city. Too many people freak out.
Yeah, every time. Known as the Hertfordshire Hermit, one James Lucas was a well-educated doctor, but also a few minor quirks to him, let's say.
Wasn't Unabomber a very well-educated guy?
Genius, yeah. Absolute genius. After his father died, those quirks were exasperated, and after his mother died 19 years later, they became pretty much uncontrollable. He moved into his parents' estate in Hertfordshire and refused to execute their wills, choosing instead to barricade himself inside the house, which quickly fell to ruin, as Lucas chose to only live in the small back kitchen, wearing nothing more than a blanket fastened with a wooden skewer. Though unwilling to mingle with anyone outside of his home, he was more than happy to receive visitors.
Do hermits bathe? Are they into...
He was wearing a blanket with a wood skewer holding it together. Probably not.
Not bathing.
He did love... he liked to receive visitors, especially tramps and children.
Tramps?
Yeah. Like,
the homeless people?
Like other hobos.
All right.
And children, which is creepy. His most famous guest was the author Charles Dickens, though, who wrote about Lucas in a story called Tom Tiddler's Ground. I'm not sure Tom Tiddler should be hanging around children, though.
Tom Tiddler. Yeah, not with a name like Tiddler. Tiddler the Diddler.
Lucas was found by one of his watchmen while having a stroke, and he died a short while later. A large sum of money was found hoarded in his living room, though. He was living in the back kitchen while his cash was in his front living room.
Wow. No, he didn't believe in the banking system, obviously.
I mean, when you wear a blanket with a wood skewer, you probably don't trust the banking system very well. I don't know about you. I ain't putting my money in there.
You're not dressed to go to the teller anyway.
Dubbed the Hermit Pope, Celestine V was known as Peter Morone in his early life. He withdrew from society at an early age, and the strict piety which he led his life attracted many followers. Again, a lot of people want to bug the people that want to be left alone.
Yep. Yeah.
Old
Why
Peter,
is that?
Peter Morone was like, okay, I'm going to follow the teachings of the Lord, which I'm going to be very strict about. I'm going to not have this. I'm going to hang out alone. And people keep showing up at his door, asking how also they can be as pious. He later organized them into a group which would become to be known as the Celestines. The pivotal moment in Peter's life came when he predicted that God would strike down the College of Cardinals, who had gone 2 years without choosing a successor for the Pope Nicholas IV. In the face of the prophecy, the cardinals voted to just go ahead and elect Peter as the new pope. I love that. He called down to them and said, hey, got a prophecy for you. If you guys don't elect a new pope, something bad's going to happen to you. And they're like, all right, you know what? We're electing you, the guy that said something bad would happen. He actually refused the nomination at first, even goes so far as to try to flee. However, the cardinals would not change their mind, mainly because he threatened them, and they were like, we're going to get this guy to be into the pope. He was soon brought to Naples, where he became Celestine V. He was actually kept on a short lease by King Charles II. Having spent most of his years outside of society, Peter knew he was not up to the job of being the pope. I mean,
they got to meet a lot of people.
He was also probably weak, so the pope hat was probably too much for him. You got to be able to wear that all the time. And so he tried to resign and escape to the mountains. Unfortunately, his successor, Pope Boniface VIII, tracked Peter down and stuck him in prison where he reigned until his death. Because they could not just leave poor Peter alone.
What was he in prison for? Not wanting to be the pope anymore?
Probably because more than likely Pope Boniface was like, he's tricking us. It's the same as the cardinals. The cardinal, he said, hey, guys, pick a pope. Something bad's going to happen. So they're like, oh, my God, he's going to do something bad to us. Let's pick him. And then, of course, Pope Boniface, like, he resigned for no reason. We don't resign. Popes just die in office. He's going to do something. Go get him and put him in jail. One of their handful of saints who actually began their lives entrenched in sin was Mary of Egypt, who was a prostitute in the city of Alexandria, servicing sailors who came into the port.
Like servicing sailors.
Which, the oldest profession was servicing sailors.
Mm-hmm.
Fleeing to the city at the ripe young age of 12, she refused money for her services, instead supporting herself mainly through begging. She's not a good prostitute. Not exactly sure what she's doing.
Begging for the D?
Well, no, she refused money for her services.
Oh, she was out of the kindness of her heart.
Yeah, she was just giving those sailors
What a nice lady.
She later convinced a group of sailors to take her to the Holy Land. When she got there, Mary tried to enter a church, but the Holy Spirit kept her body from crossing the threshold. Yeah, it was like, whoa.
No, not today. Whore.
The sight of an icon of the Virgin Mary caused her to confess her sins and to weep. Under the guidance of the voice of the Virgin Mary, she then went into the wilderness across the Jordan River, where she remained alone for 40 years.
Wow.
The future Pope Zosimus was said to have come upon Mary while on his own journey in the desert. She told him her entire story, and he gave her communion. Later after death, Zosimus was preparing the burial rites when a lion appeared out of nowhere. It dug a grave for Mary with its paw before burying it herself.
Oh.
Lots of lions going on.
This one was also a gravedigger, apparently. And,
just like to show up and...
dig a big old hole for
you. Yeah, you got a sweet
I got
hole.
These big mitts here and these claws. Let me go to work.
The legendary founder of the Way of the Celestial Master Sect, otherwise known as the Way of the Five Pecks of Rice. It's a branch of Taoism.
Okay.
Well, his name is Zhang Daolun. He lived a relatively nondescript life as a hermit in the mountains of the Sichuan province in China. The nickname for a sect derived from the fact that people paid 5 pecks of rice every year as a sort of membership fee.
5 packs of rice?
Pecks.
What's a peck?
I have no idea. I'd have to guess.
Pick a bushel?
Probably.
Yeah, okay. It's a large amount of rice.
Daolun began it after the famed Taoist philosopher Lao Tse supposedly came to him in a vision, and it became the first organized Taoist church of the Chinese history. He decided to give up his life of solitude to lead his new followers, which seems the opposite of the good hermit people. Most of them learned to want to be more hermit. This guy was like, wow, people want to hang out with me now.
I'm the most popular hermit in town.
Daolun preached against what he saw as a lack of respect for the truth and the goodness of the people in China. The new sect also rejected the traditional sacrifices, which also involved blood animals, in favor of joss sticks, incense, and boiled vegetables.
What's a joss stick?
I'm assuming so, or like a sort of incense as well. I have to look that up too. But he basically, the reason that all Chinese shops smell the way they do and don't smell like sacrificed animals is because of this guy.
Oh, they smell like that burnt incense and stuff? Okay.
He was the one who changed that. Like, hey, let's stop sacrificing. Oh, we don't.
It's real smelly. Customers don't like it.
It smells like copper in here all the time. We'll do the incense sticks and some boiled vegetables. I think the gods will be fine with it. Julian of Norwich. He's perhaps best known for being the author of the first book written in the English language by a woman. Her magnum opus, Revelations of Divine Love. She's known primarily through that book. And while most of the details are missing, we do know that Julian herself was already in her cell, a room attached to a church, by the age of 30. It was at the age of 30 that a sickness struck her, one of which was so serious that she was given the last sacraments. More than likely, she had leprosy.
A lot of that going around.
Yeah. However, she pulled through with the visions she received, inspired her to write about the love of God. She often struggled with the evil ravaging the world at the time, and she fought to reconcile that idea with the concept of God's love. When Julian questioned God and pressed him for an explanation, he was like, hey, don't worry, I got this. That's what she said. He assured her that she need not bother. She would forever remain ignorant of his reasoning.
What does that mean?
That he basically came by and said, hey, don't worry about it.
All right. Thanks.
Her year of the death, as well as the cause of the mystery, all was known that she was dead by 1423 as her cell was sent empty. So I guess somebody came by, looked in, like, Julian's gone.
She's dead, or she just wasn't there?
Yeah, there's nobody there. We're going to mark her down as dead. And then finally, there's Baal Shem Tov. Born Israel Ben Elzir, and often called just Besht, which just too many names. I'm glad he went with Besht.
Besht.
He's best known as the father of Hasidism. His life is shrouded in legend and fable, as most of the details of his life are a topic of debate. He is said to have been born to parents who were nearly 100 years old. Tough to believe.
Yep.
He was orphaned at a young age when they both died of old age. That I can believe. If they were 100 years old.
Yeah, I believe that one, but a 100-year-old guy is going to get it up. But
I'm not sure how his mom pushed one out at 100 either.
Pretty amazing.
I mean, he may have just slip and slided on out of there.
Just fall out on the floor.
After a relatively nondescript young life in which he worked at various synagogues and schools, Besht went into the Carpathian Mountains, where he lived and meditated on the mysticism and spirituality. His reputation as a healer spread far and wide, as did the fact that he conversed with and dressed like simple people. I guess that was cool at the time. Like, hey, this priest dude, he's just up on the mountain dressed like a regular dude. This actually irked some parts of the Jewish community, that he was just so simple.
He didn't put the don the robes and act the part?
No, I think it's kind of the same way. There's a lot of people in the Christian church that don't like the pastors that'll show up in just jeans and a t-shirt.
Right,
and
out, or his ratty old pinto or something like that, yeah.
I think sometimes people need that for their faith. I never understood it. I prefer that type of...
A well-dressed priest?
I prefer not a well-dressed. I believe more the guy that came out with the blanket, with the wood skewer to come out and tell me something than I do...
Kenneth Copeland with the six giant jetliners in his church?
Joel Osteen and his slick back hair. Although he never actually wrote down any of his teachings, they were recorded by his followers and later formed the basis of his citizenism.
Oh, see? He did something right.
Well, he didn't do it, which is even funnier because he never took down the time to actually write his own stuff down. And it was
too much meditating to do.
It was just been lost to history. But well, some guy was like, hey, this guy's got, he knows what he's talking about. We should write this stuff
down.
He's
not writing it even down. What's going on? when we return, Chicago's teachers union needs a bigger budget this year. They need $50 billion. They make some other demands, too, that have nothing to do with teaching at all. To put that figure in context, last year's Illinois state budget was $50.4
billion. I mean, shoot for the moon, I guess.
I guess so. That's next. It's the Shannon Burke Show. Chicago Teachers Union, they got demands. They say it's going to exceed $9 billion, up nearly 30% from $7.4 billion only 5 years ago. But their new contract that they are trying to negotiate with the union right now, they're making $50 billion in demands. They include big pay hikes, abortions, services for migrants, and required LGBTQ-related training. They spent more than $21,000 per student last year. The average national average is $14,300.
And they had some of the worst students there.
Yeah. Included in our provisions for abortions, 9% wage increase each year for the next 4 years. We'll push the average salary from $93,182 to $144,620 by the 2027 school year. They also are calling for the district to hire 2,500 new teacher aides. The demands also include 100% coverage benefits for abortion care, 100% covered benefits for fertility, including full coverage for storage of embryos and any other frozen storage needs. Another supposed demand of the taxpayers will need to provide $2,000 in academics, transportation, and mental health counseling to each migrant in the city.
Which I'm not sure why the Chicago Teachers Union needs to even step into that.
Yeah. Because
they're not saying migrant student. They're saying migrant, period.
Each migrant in the city.
Yeah.
They're allegedly requiring that all of the 646 public schools have a, quote, newcomer liaison for new students as well as migrant students. There's an alleged requirement to transform unused school facilities into housing accommodations for illegal immigrants as well. They demand that every school have at least one gender-neutral restroom. Another reported requirement is that every counselor and every social worker undergo yearly LGBTQ training. The union also wants to prevent any member from being forced to inform a parent when their student changes their gender. They require meeting the superintendent after any traumatic event to discuss closing the school. The head of the school district, Gates is her name, who sends her kid to a private Catholic school, told the Chicago Sun-Times, we're a labor union that understands the power of solidarity and the power of work stoppage, meaning that here's a big threat.
Yeah, but you can't force money that doesn't exist. I mean, they want that $50 billion over 4 years, so about $12.5 billion. The yearly budget's only $50 billion for the entire state
of Illinois.
Yeah. So they want a quarter of what the entire state gets just for that city's teachers union. There's no way.
And why would you, I mean, what do the teachers union have anything to do with transportation and mental health counseling to each illegal alien in the city?
nothing. And I doubt they would ever get that money. It's more money that they want to pocket.
They're obviously not going to get this because the money doesn't exist. You can't ask for, you know, you can't have a $9 billion budget one year and then want $50
billion. Or expect a 10% raise every year.
That's ridiculous. Chicago's plan is to move illegals out of downtown ahead of the DNC, the convention. They want to, you know, it's like him. It's like Xi Jinping coming to town.
Yeah, they called. They called San Francisco and asked London Breed where they hit all those people.
Yeah, where did you guys store all your homeless drug addicts during Xi Jinping's visit? Because we get a...
Which, actually, hilarious counterpoint to that is that London Breed just put in some diagram, some graph on her page about how the amount of tents and structures in San Francisco is down. It used to be like 420-ish, and then now it's down to like 170 tents and structures. But the time that it was 420 was like the 2 weeks before the Xi Jinping visit.
Ah.
So they reduced it by like 300 because those people haven't come. Well, those people haven't come back
yet.
A lot
didn't come back. Not bad. Here's a report from Chicago.
Strong reactions tonight from residents after learning Mayor Brandon Johnson is considering plans to open a new temporary migrant shelter in their Southside neighborhood.
And he don't know where to put him. Why would you put him in our neighborhood? Well, why don't we go by your house?
All of that money that he's given them, we've been begging for years.
We've lived here our whole life. We have a lot of bad things that happen here already. We do not need this. We just do not.
Located just blocks away from Guaranteed Rate Field, the proposed building near Canal and Pershing is in the city's 11th ward.
Look at where it's at. It's hit in the back. Why is that a good location? We have no amenities here as it is.
Alderwoman Nicole Lee issued this letter to constituents yesterday saying she was notified earlier this week and met with the mayor on Thursday. She says the city wants to move migrants staying at the Standard Club near the Dirksen Federal Building to her ward before the Democratic National Convention.
This is just insane. It doesn't make sense.
Why would they need to move them? I mean, the Democratic National Convention, every one of the people attending love illegal aliens. They'll love to see the plight of the cities.
No, they don't. They want to be able to go to the restaurant and not get hassled by the guy on the street who's panhandling. And maybe they want to stay at one of those hotels that are currently being used as shelters.
Keep them downtown. Keep them. I don't know. I mean, this is not our problem.
The alderwoman made it clear she is against the proposed plan, citing safety and location concerns and lack of justification for the move. She says, quote, as our city grapples with this unprecedented influx of migrants, it is crucial that we handle the migrant crisis safely, responsibly, and with full transparency. The well-being of our communities must be the top priority.
But all we want to do is house our veterans, and they're getting kicked to the side for the people who didn't do anything for this country, yet those men and women honorably served.
What a real kick in the face to be a homeless veteran in this country and see eight to nine, whatever, million people come into the country and watch our government bend over backwards to roll out the red carpet in terms of housing and benefits and meals. There was someplace there. Here, is this it? Oh, yeah. Listen to this. This is in Massachusetts. What was the per meal average? We did a story about that in New York City.
$14
or $14? Well, someone said, hold my beer.
Honestly, there's nothing edible.
Here are some of the dinners that taxpayers paid $21 for. Spaghetti with hot dogs and rice with one chicken drumstick.
The spaghetti with
Spaghetti with hot dogs. That was a kid's dream come true, man. I'd love to have spaghetti with hot dogs every
day. Cut up just nice.
Yeah, just for about a half inch to an inch. And you'd roll up that, twirl that spaghetti up and, you know, stab a hot dog piece. Just delicious.
With the hot dog in it. Really? We're paying $21 for that. Okay. It's crazy.
These lunches and dinners were given to.
Think about that for
some of the dinners that.
Think about that for a minute. $21 for pasta with a cut up hot dog in it. Pasta is one of the cheapest things. Probably they got a 20 cents in pasta. Wrapped up in one serving. He caught up, one hot dog? What does that cost you? Another 40 cents?
Yeah, they probably got less than 90 cents in that entire meal.
And they
get
$21 for it. And governments don't care. That's out of their hands. You know, they'll pay it. It's not their money.
We're paying $21 for that. Okay. It's crazy.
These lunches and dinners were given to migrants and homeless families at the Fairfield Inn, Dedham, Boston. The contract obtained by the I-team shows the state is paying this one hotel $7,343,316 for food.
Wow. $7 million. And I don't know, was that a year? Probably a year on a contractual basis?
With no provision or requirement that the meals be nutritious or meet USDA recommendations, leaving it up to the hotel to decide what to serve.
Yeah. Some hotel owner just became a multimillionaire. The food he's feeding is industrial at best. And some bureaucrat said yes to $21 a meal. $63 a day.
That's because we know how many of those were just handing out contracts that were given to whoever walked by and said that they could do it, because we felt the need to release again for the second time that we've done this after we went through that whole COVID debacle. And then a second time we said, oh, no, we don't need the people to bid. It's an emergency. We got to get this food out as fast as we can.
Right. No bid contract.
You know, that's how we end up with Tony's Ravioli Factory making hot dogs and hot dogs and spaghetti sauce.
Wait, isn't it that Italian ravioli factory?
It was Boston's.
Yeah. They've got a big fat deal, putting everything in the raviolis. Wow. $21 per day for hot dogs. Man. That's and at the end of the day, who's going to complain?
They're going to complain, the people that are there, and then, yeah, nobody, because of the fact that we just hand over a large sum of money and say, just make sure they're fed.
Or at least the food's available. If they turn it down, it's on them. What's going on there?
I was trying to see if that was on there, but breaking news is Merrick Garland will be held in contempt of court of Congress for refusing to hand over the recordings of Biden's special counsel interview.
Wow. So nothing will happen to him because he's a Democrat.
Nothing will happen to him, but yes, they are actually going to move ahead with that as well.
Yeah, but it's not gonna do anything. It's pathetic. Was this today or yesterday? Trump spoke outside the courtroom. There it is.
Judge Juan Merchan says the presumptive Republican nominee did violate the order when he said this on April 22nd.
That jury was picked so fast. 95% Democrats. The area is mostly all Democrat. You think of it as just a purely Democrat area. It's a very unfair situation, that I can tell you.
I mean, anyone in America should have the right to say that. Anyone that's on trial.
And that wasn't, he didn't point out a certain juror. He didn't point out a certain person, anybody by name.
Right. I don't get it. Fill me in on, I know that there was, so I saw this originally when it happened. I believe it was at Alabama, where the heavyset black woman was there. Ole Miss. And they were chanting Lizzo, Lizzo, Lizzo. The camera panned to the right, and there was one guy like doing a ape-like, and going, hoo, 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 hoo. That guy was immediately kicked out of his fraternity, right?
Yes, which I don't have a problem with, because that he went too far. He knew what he was doing in trying to do that. And he wasn't removed from school so far. If he gets removed from school, I have a problem with it. But he was removed from fraternity, which is more of a like being on a sports team or things like that. It's a privilege. So I don't have a problem with that. I think that's the correct thing. And it's amazing that once again, this is the conservative people went, yeah, he went too far and he's since been removed. Other places can't seem to figure out how they always just, oh, my God, I can't believe.
We have to close the whole school down because one guy did something.
Yeah.
And I'm really surprised that a bigger deal wasn't made out of it.
Oh, it was massive over the weekend. Every person that normally is that was cheering on the protesters on the left side immediately went, oh, my God, how is this monster still able to walk the streets? I mean, they had his picture and his name within like an hour.
Wow. Jesus.
And again, he went too far. He's stupid. He should have known better. You don't do you. He went racist, and you can't do that on when you there's cameras around. And he got punished correctly.
Yeah, he's no longer the frat. I mean, I see people online. Amir King said, "Well, he could have been just doing a King Kong impersonation because of the her size."
Yeah, but you have to know what you got to know the limits. Again, I don't think it's even worth him getting kicked out of his fraternity. But the way societal limits are, he went too far.
And the proper thing happened.
Yes, the proper thing happened. He got removed. It was again. He's not been punished more than leaving school. Now, if he gets booted out of Ole Miss, then yes, there's some problems because the big black Lizzo-looking girl was walking down the line.
She was also saying crackers
and flicking and literally trying to antagonize him to begin right. with. So she should also be removed if that's the case.
Reaction to the Tom Brady roast, I think, has been mostly positive. I saw people cheering on the fact that comedy may still have a chance, that freedom of speech still reigns supreme, and that funny could be funny, and the people that are wise enough to do discern comedy from something deliberately racist or sexist or whatever is comedy. Sam Block, ESPN writer at times. He says, and I quote, jokes about 911 are not funny. Jokes about LGBTQ are not funny. Jokes about murder are not funny. Jokes about sexual assault are not funny. The Tom Brady roast was disgusting. it's people like that. Who are you? I mean, okay, I'm not funny to you.
Also, you didn't have to watch it. This guy sat through the whole thing to get all those jokes were told. So he spent that entire time clutching his pearls in just absolute disgust as they told jokes and everybody laughed and had a good time. And guess who was on the stage? There was a gay person. There was a Jewish person. There was a black person. There was a white person. Yes. There was a short person.
And guess what they were doing? Laughing their asses off. Here's a little
of the Giants, which is why Kevin Hart is hosting tonight. All night, he's been using the stool that Aaron Hernandez kicked out from under himself. Kevin is so small that when his ancestors picked cotton, they called it deadlifting. Tom Brady is a Patriot, which is surprising considering he looks like a Confederate fag. Clearly, your ex-wife takes after you. I hear she's out there draining balls right now.
Why can't stuff like this be funny? I guarantee you this guy, Block, he knows it's funny. He just doesn't like, I mean, I'm sure it's human instinct to laugh at these things. You can't, your inner monologue wokeness can't stop your brain from finding something amusing, and you know it's amusing, but it deals with the wrong, the wrong subject matter, which in your mind, you've decided that there can't be any jokes about these things.
And yes, and that's what, I mean, Jerry Seinfeld just said that same thing, is that they're ruined. There's no comedy right now. And look, I Movie Man Mike might be able to correct me on it, but that movie with Sidney Sweeney that came out last year was a rom-com, was the first comedy to pass $200 million in 5 years.
Wow.
That shows you how bad comedies are doing right now because of the fact that they're scared. You take people like Todd Phillips, who did all the Hangover movies.
Yeah.
And he literally came out and said, I can't do comedy anymore. That's why he moved on to do A Star is Born and Joker and all those other movies that are more serious, because he's like, I can't.
Because the movie studios won't do it, won't allow it. Or
part. There's
no
part
one
will
write it.
You can't get the writers for it. They won't backroll it. And then people, you get immediately canceled if they find your joke is in poor taste, which is what comedy is. It's poor taste.
Right.
People love you, Tom. You have the same fan base as Kyle Rittenhouse. Gronk, I'm happy you could take a break from writing Santa letters to be here today. I knew you were here when we were all out of chocolate milk backstage. You look like the final boss in George Floyd the video game. Jeff is so Jewish, he only watches football for the coin toss. Nikki has such a bad eating disorder, the industry keeps shoving her down our throat. You might recognize her from her podcast appearances, specials, and winning the Triple Crown at Churchill Downs. You might recognize Kevin as the jockey that rode her, and that's Churchill Downs, the racetrack, not to be confused with what Jeff Ross looks like when he smokes a cigar. Sam J, an obese African-American lesbian. So by having here, Netflix checked off a lot of boxes.
You could have said that on Twitter 2 years ago.
And that would have you booted.
You would be gone forever. They wouldn't even give you internet service anymore.
So there may be hope still that we're finally getting over this fog of terrible.
And I don't understand why guys like that writer Block can't see in front of his eyes that lesbian woman is not offended. She sees humor in it. She finds humor. Ross, all of them, they find that Kevin Hart amongst, you know, and he's got to have a thick skin by now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how many short jokes has that man heard in his life?
Oh, I saw a clip where I forget what talk show was on, one of the nighttime talk shows, and he's a guest and the chat comes on and picks him up and holds him like a baby.
he knows it. I mean, he knows he's short, and he's been able to make a career out of it now.
Schultz, I'm glad you took a break from watching YouTube videos on how to dap up black dudes correctly. Schultz's mom is a professional ballroom dancer, which means she's a stripper that talks too much.
This is my favorite.
Kirk Kreischer is a king. He looks like if the Tiger King and the Liver King only ate Burger King and had a liver that looked like Martin Luther King got beat up by Rodney King. And how about the appearance from the great Ron Burgundy?
I guess a lot of people were in the audience and weren't like on the stage. So,
A whale's vagina, which reminds me, Kim Kardashian's here. She's had a lot of black men celebrate in her end zone. Kim, word of advice, close your legs. You have more public beef than Kendrick and Drake.
She's the only one that may not have taken it well, but no one liked her.
I think she's got to be used to it by now, too. At some point, you got to understand that they're going to make fun of the fact that you've slept with a lot of black guys and everybody's seen your downstairs.
That's true. All of it's true. Sam Block says all of it was disgusting. He doesn't think any of those jokes are funny.
No, yeah, because he followed up with like transphobes like this, homophobes like this comedy, racists like this comedy. And you, again, at some point, you've got to stop being so offended by everything. People can laugh. You can have some fun. You can take it as a joke. Again, it crosses the line when it becomes hateful, where the person actually has hate behind the comment he's saying.
Right. But, I mean, this guy, if he finds a joke that's not funny, that's fine. But he's allowed his ideology to kill his sense of humor and make him a less or a humorless human being.
Yeah, because he's upset about everything in the world. If everything is not a harmonious, everybody should be hugging type of joke, and I don't know what he would possibly find funny at this point, because there is
what comedy is humorous to him?
Because you can't even go back
jokes
to old 19. You can't have a Fatty Arbuckle joke because Fatty felt he was fat and he fell down every once in a while.
Right.
You can't have a joke about you can't watch Garfield because that thing's he scarfed down lasagna and he kicked a puppy every once in a while.
And I don't think anybody cares what he thinks.
No, I think he did exactly what he got out of it. He wanted to engagement farm a little bit, but also I do think he probably believes that as well.
Or he may not really truly believe it in his heart, but he's convinced himself that it's not funny.
He got a plus one reputation point out of it. Somebody will come by at some point and go, "Oh, look at you. You've got a gold star for being a good little liberal guy that is upset by everything."
Yeah, but everybody there was laughing. Black, white, gay, you know, everybody.
Yeah, there wasn't one person.
And this guy was seething at home, seething at home.
And he sat and watched every bit of it, too.
And called it disgusting.
Which is the best part, because to get any of those jokes, he had to have listened through the entire show.
God, what a pussy. What is he? He writes for ESPN from time to time. Tweets are his own. Mm-hmm. He's not mean tweeting with other people. All right, when we return, our buddy Eric Matheny will join us. I don't even know where to start with him. Mystic Dan, perhaps? One of the places open after the show. I can swing by there.
I'm sure probably still. They're betting still.
Yeah, God knows. All right, Eric Matheny will join us next. I do want to get to CNN, former CNN host Chris Cuomo said last night on News, what is he on now, News Nation, that he has a vaccine injury. That comes on the heels of the announcement that scientists have created a brand new coronavirus jab that works so well that you could trust. It works so well that it even works on viruses that haven't been discovered yet.
That's impressive.
Man, that's a... All you really have to do is look at this one.
Can that work on every... I'm going to give you a pill. This pill is great for everything that hasn't even been discovered yet.
Yeah. Any pain, any disease, any virus, any bacterial infection, even if we don't know what it is, this will take care of it. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show. We'll wait for Eric Matheny to join us. Man, the Miami Grand Prix deal. I get that only elite people go. But some of the prices they were charging for food seem absolutely unreal, like almost a joke.
But should it be that way? Should it be an only an elite event? Like, it's such a weird thing that we've gone away from. Sports was kind of the one thing that the average person could afford to show up for, and that is gone. You can't be an average person and go to an event anymore without it basically breaking your bank for the week.
They say F1 is a little more expensive than NASCAR. But when you think of F1, you think of people that are super wealthy, right? I mean, but does F1 desire to expand its demographic base to everyday people?
Yes and no. I think it lives off that being super wealthy fans type of thing. But yeah, I mean, you always have to have the mid-level people as well.
Here's the menu at F1. Some of the things there. Some of the cheapest things were a yellowfin tuna pokey, which is raw tuna in a salad. That was $170. $170 for one serving. Or you could get the $170 empanada duo. That's right. Two empanadas for $170. $190 fruit refresher, which sounds like a fruit cup. Steamed buns. I imagine these are...
Bao, yeah.
$120. Sampler platter, $210. A crispy wing board. $190 for wings.
Oh, I wonder what the profit margin on that sucker is.
Here's one of the kicker. Nachos. Yes, they're carne asada nachos, but they're $180.
Yeah. You and I both know that you can use the term carne asada and take a cheap piece of beef and call it carne asada because you put it on a grill and cut it up.
Spice it up with a bunch of spices. Lobster rolls, usually really expensive. They were no exception here. A lobster roll there will run you $280 for a lobster roll. Prawns. Chilled prawns, $290. Well, you could add an ounce of caviar to either for additional $400. Man. All right. On Mondays, we check in with our buddy Eric Matheny.
Eric's Save America podcast and his other job practicing law. Order! It's Eric Matheny.
Boom. Eric Matheny, how are you, brother?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Find Eric where you get your social media at. Eric M. Matheny, a great follow. All right. Do we have a ceasefire here? Was the agreement come too late? I mean, Israel dropped the flyers. And shortly after an air raid early this morning, they said, we got a ceasefire. And apparently Israel said, go pound sand.
Yeah, I don't think we are there yet. I was just hearing about that this afternoon, that there were some targeted attacks going on right now. Look, it's not just going to be something that, you know, they randomly decide to cease fire. Again, we've talked about this. This is more than just, you know, we're fighting over this particular strip of land or this or that. It's the right to exist. And I've been the one to call out both sides. You know, as pro-Israel as I may be, I still want to see cooler heads prevail. And the Palestinians have a right to their land, and Israelis have a right to their land as well. The problem is America's role in all of this, because if we didn't have a president who, you saw him in the press corps the other day standing there, I mean, if anyone's raised a 2-year-old, you know what he's doing. He's standing there with his knees buckled, looks like he's, you know, having an accident in front of the press. When you have that, when you have full bird colonels with leather dog masks, when you have what's his name, Rachel Levine, Richard Levine, the admiral in the skirt,
right,
parading around, we're not instilling a lot of confidence and not exuding strength onto the world, because this is really something, when you think about it, when you have, you know, an Israel-Palestine conflict, this is where America shines. This is where we should be bringing everyone to the table. This is where you need a guy like Donald Trump to say, hey, how are we going to negotiate this? That's what he's there for. That's what his mastery is. He's a master negotiator. And so we have Biden who's just kind of standing by. We have hostages over in Palestine. We haven't gotten all of them back yet. There are still Americans there. We're trying to get them home. What kind of negotiations are taking place? And I just think as long as we are weak in the world and we're not on the world stage exuding that confidence, strength, the America that historically people have come to know, I don't think we're going to get anywhere.
Well, I think we're setting a bad example for what we're doing here at home, plus our foreign policy, a lot of our foreign policy decisions. For example, Judge Merchan today mentions that, you know, jail seems to be the only thing left. Although I recognize you're a former president and likely the next president, so I don't want to do it, but that's the only thing. I mean, he's kind of riding the rail here. Does he have the balls to put President Trump in jail?
You know, I was talking about that earlier today. I don't know. He's got a lot of pressure on him, certainly from both sides. He's under the microscope. This is the most historic criminal case really ever. I mean, probably since O.J. Simpson, no criminal trial has been this impactful. But as far as whether he's got the balls to put the former president and possibly future president in jail, I don't know if it's a matter of balls or I don't know what it is or just poor judgment. But I don't know if he wants to be the guy to do that. I don't think he wants the accolades from the left. I don't think he wants the ire from the right. I don't think he wants to be known for that. I don't think he wants to do that. And look, most judges that I've been in front of, as far as like contempt proceedings go, and this is, again, he's not sentencing him for being found guilty. The trial's still ongoing. But for violating a court order, most judges are not going to want to put you in jail. Again, but the gag order only applies to Trump. You have other people that are free to talk. You have Michael Cohen. He's a witness who's going out there on TikTok or whatever trying to raise money off this stuff, trying to monetize this. And everybody else is free to speak how they want, but Trump isn't. And again, this is a case that's not just being tried in a court of law. It's being tried in the court of public opinion, namely the fact that he's being pulled away. I mean, he's spending, you know, 8, 9, 10 hours a day in court. He could barely get away to go to his son's high school graduation. He's not on the campaign trail. He needs to have, and this is a big issue, a big cloud hanging over him. He needs to have the ability to speak about this, at least, you know, if not only for the trial's sake, but at least as far as the election goes. But again, I don't know what's going to happen here because the case is rapidly falling apart. I can't believe, I know Alvin Bragg wanted to get him. I get that. But at the lack of foresight or just ability to see how their case was going to progress. They didn't speak to their witnesses ahead of time. I mean, they haven't proven one solid thing. What they've demonstrated is Trump's got a big orbit of people, and you understand why loyalty is so important, because he delegates pretty much all of these responsibilities to other people. So Michael Cohen and Pecker are working their thing out, Hope Hicks. Everybody's operating sort of independently of Trump without Trump having his hand in anything in particular, which takes away from the elements of knowledge and intent if other people are operating without him knowing.
Let me ask you, as an attorney, this type of gag order, is it typical, and in what cases would you normally find it in? I mean, is it usually to protect the defendant?
Well, it's to protect the integrity of the process. It's to protect the jury. Now, I'm sure, as every judge does, you know, whether it's this case or not, you know, the judge is instructing the jury every night when you go home, you know, don't watch any news, stay off social media. Whether the jurors abide by that or not, who knows? We'll never know that. But he doesn't want jurors to come home and, you know, let's say they do go on social media, let's say they do turn on the TV and they see Trump talking about the case and, you know, bad-mouthing the court. That's, he's trying to protect the integrity of the process. That's what a gag order is for.
Yeah, really, but meanwhile, the jury. Michael Cohen's all over social media, monetizing it, talking all over. You know, for a while he talked about the case incessantly. He's toned it down a bit. But it's the judge specifically saying that he would prefer, if this jury were to be influenced, that it be influenced from their key witness or someone on the left?
Well, that's the point right there, is that if you're going to impose a gag order, then you impose it upon everybody equally. You impose it upon all witnesses, all parties, all litigants, everybody. And it seems to be entirely directed at Trump, who's also candidate for president and needs to have the platform by which he has to address this. This is the elephant in the room. You're on trial right now. We've never in our history as a republic had a president running for office while on trial for a criminal case. He has to be able to speak about that. And there are ways you could speak about cases. I mean, with cases without gag orders, you know, without influencing a jury. And in influencing the jury, we already have a jury. And if the jury is abiding by the court's order, then you know, hopefully they're right. Not going on Truth Social and looking at it. And certainly if they are, that would be cause to remove one of the jurors.
Right.
But Trump is just he's just expressing opinion. I mean, he's not, you know, providing them with any information that they may not be privy to, or they may not, you know. And certainly things that the jury is not going to be allowed to hear about, but it sounds like the judge is just allowing, you know, the Access Hollywood tape. All this stuff is really irrelevant
right.
as far as the 34 charges go. But you know, this gag order is kind of unilaterally focused on Trump and really prevents him from being able not only to defend himself in the media, which it is a media case, but to effectively campaign. Because how can he campaign without addressing what he's got to do every day from 9 to 6 p.m. every day?
Absolutely. And if he's convicted, he'll obviously appeal it. Eric, but my question to you is, these arbitrary gag order stuff and these contempt charges from the judge, will they be dealt with on an appeal? Can an appellate court look at things like his gag order and find it unconstitutional and find that it's in violation of Trump's rights?
Well, certainly, absolutely. Now, if he's ultimately acquitted, then it's really going to be a non-issue. I mean, look, the contempt charge, you know, if he wants to go get the contempt charge purged and wants to appeal that, certainly he can do that. But if he's found not guilty, then, you know, that's case over. If he is found guilty, though, that would obviously be one of the avenues of appeal, is, you know, one of the issues going after the gag order and specifically any bias the court may have showed against him. But I'll tell you, you know, when this case first happened, I think a lot of us thought, man, 34 charges, you're in a really unfriendly jurisdiction. This judge, you know, doesn't seem to be terribly defense friendly. You're probably going to be found guilty. But even I think the most hope to die anti-Trumper there is, how could you possibly pull criminal conduct out of the evidence that's been presented? They have not in any way, shape, or form, unless they've got some big surprise coming at the end, even circumstantially, really managed to link this evidence to Donald Trump. You have his shady lawyer who's been convicted of lying to Congress, who's working with the publisher of the National Enquirer.
As the lead witness, the key witness.
Yeah, yeah. As your star witness. Well, Stormy Daniels hasn't testified yet, but she also wrote a statement in 2018 saying, I never had an affair with the guy. So was she lying then? Is she lying now? There's so many, you know, aside from the credibility problems, it's just the quantum of proof is not there. And even though I know Alvin Bragg wanted to get this guy and Letitia James wanted to get him, she could only get him on a civil matter. Alvin Bragg wanted to get the guy, really kind of reconstructing a misdemeanor statute to include, well, the crime that you're committing is you're trying to influence the election, when that they haven't proven that. Because if he doesn't know what Cohen and Pecker and all these actors are doing, how could he, the defendant, be operating with the criminal intent to influence something that he doesn't even know is going on? It doesn't make sense.
There's no way for him to stop or change a gag order during a trial to challenge just that specific part of it?
They could file a motion at any time. They could file a motion to vacate the gag order or modify the gag order. It's up to his lawyers. That's a decision that they have to make. I think they are keeping their eyes on the ball. Look, you know, and I'm a Trump supporter as far as they go, but I wouldn't want to represent the guy. I imagine he's a very difficult client. And, you know, quite frankly, as a defense attorney, you want your client to shut up. I don't want you going out to the press and talking. I don't want you saying anything that could potentially hurt you. Because the fear being that if Trump were to go out there, and, you know, he doesn't rehearse what he says. He speaks off the cuff. You know, feels his audience. If he goes out there and says something incriminating, mind you, that now becomes evidence in his trial. So I think that's what his lawyers wish he would not do that. But come on, is anyone going to gain control over Donald Trump? He's going to do what he wants to do, and the people love him for that. You may want him as your president, but doesn't necessarily mean you would want to represent him or even work for the guy. I imagine he's a very difficult boss to have, but sure is an effective president, and, you know, my God, do we need him.
Let's change gears a little bit here. The Gallup Confidence Metric poll results came in telling a story that seems to run exactly opposite to what the administration tells us about the economy. Nora O'Donnell had Hakeem Jeffries on, among other things. She said she herself acted stunned when she told Hakeem that two-thirds of American voters actually believe that the economy under Trump was better than this economy now. And then Hakeem comes in and goes, oh, that's absolutely untrue. This economy is and they go through the whole rigmarole. And then Nora says, well, why do you think people think that way? And he goes, well, they just don't really know. We got to do the messaging, blah, blah, blah. When will this gaslighting end? Because nobody, I mean, they may try to convince themselves to believe it, but nobody thinks that. Nobody's really out there thinking that this is a kick-ass, robust economy, yet we're constantly told that we are. Will the gaslighting end?
I think a good economy is kind of like somebody who's particularly well-endowed. You just know. They don't have to constantly brag about it or tell you. And I think that's the same thing. You feel a good economy. You experience a good economy. We know when the economy is good. You know when you have more money in your pocket. You know when you go to the grocery store and it's not costing you an arm and a leg. You know when it's $1.69 to put gas in your car. If you constantly have to be told and constantly have to be reminded of how good the economy is, it doesn't jive with what the American people are experiencing. This is not a great economy. This is not jobs are back because COVID's over. Biden did not create 15 million jobs.
Right.
Inflation is significantly higher than they're telling us. I think inflation's probably, I've heard estimates as high as 35%.
Holy.
Going up year after year after year. You know, prices, real estate market is making it very difficult for home buyers. Interest rates are terrible. Gas prices are coming back big time. I've seen gas prices as high as $7 in California. The stuff, you know, the average American, I mean, you and I are in unique positions because we have to stay on top of what's going on politically. The average American is not. They're going about their life. But they experience politics not through what's going on Twitter or what they see in the news, how they feel, how it affects their pocketbook, the taxes being taken out of their paycheck, how much a round of groceries costs now than it did in 2019. That's how they're going to vote. People are going to vote with their wallets, and an economy is something that you experience and you just know. If times are good, we know they're good. If we have to constantly be told how good the times are, no, that's not jiving with the experience that the American people are having. You know, the only people making money right now consistently are members of Congress who are able to beat the S&P 500.
Yeah. did you watch any of the Tom Brady roast or see any clips from it?
Yeah, you know, I didn't watch the roast, but I saw a bunch of it this morning, and I thought it was really funny, and I was really happy just to see it. You know, it reminded me of comedy from my youth, the 90s, the early 2000s,
Yeah. When
you had, like, insult comics. Like, I remember in Miami going to see Lisa Lampanelli, and she was famous for racist jokes, just being dirty, and everybody loved her, and no one was offended. You couldn't get away with that now. And I see, you know, these great comics out there and the things they're saying, and that, you know, that pendulum is coming back. I mean, the wokeness thing, that's run its course. And even liberals, even Democrats, I mean, look, everybody likes to laugh. It's funny. Things are funny. And the more lighthearted we are and the more we laugh, the more we're going to get along and not walk on eggshells, right? So there's no hatred in it. You're not laughing like, aha, I hate this group of people, so I'm going to find humor in it. No, it's funny. It's funny stuff. And the offensive jokes are always the best. And I thought what I saw was brilliant.
I thought it was brilliant.
I'm happy to see that.
I think Tony Hinchcliffe was hysterical. One writer for ESPN, Tim Block, said he apparently watched it. And he went on to review it. He said, jokes about 9/11 are not funny. Jokes about LGBTQ are not funny. Jokes about murder are not funny. Jokes about sexual assault are not funny. Tom Brady roast was disgusting.
Oh, my God. All those jokes are funny.
Every one of them.
Those jokes are funny.
And what he doesn't realize is the people that were the target of those jokes were there laughing along with everybody.
They were there laughing. Laughing. I mean, Tony Hinchcliffe is making racial jokes to Kevin Hart right to his face. He's cracking up, and there's no hatred in it. That's the thing. It's funny. These types of jokes are funny, and it's okay to laugh. It doesn't make you a bad person. Everyone needs to lighten up, and I'll tell you, the more we laugh, the better we're going to be. We're going to get along with each other because we're not always walking on eggshells going, oh, my God, I'm so afraid I might say something to offend you. Because that in turn makes you prioritize and think about race and our differences instead of just going, hey, that's funny. I'm going to find things about you that are funny, find things about me that are funny. Let's laugh and have a good time. And everyone needs to lighten up.
And walk away unoffended.
Exactly.
I do think that in terms of our, to change it up just a bit before we wrap it up here, in terms of our universities and campuses and anti-Israel protests and campus and encampments, which are still going on, lots of arrests, a lot of kids going to be up there upset. They're finally not going to, they're experiencing some circumstances for their behavior. Some of them not being able to walk for graduation. A lot of them having to be suspended, so on and so forth. But now we find out that, and the media is quite open about it, who's funding the pro-Hamas protests. You know, and it's the Pritzkers, the Soroses, the Rockefeller Juniors, the usual people. But these are the same people that also back Biden. What do you make of that weird disparity?
I think it's just to create chaos, just to create this environment in which things are chaotic and uneasy. You know, on one side, the other, they're, because these protesters are not pro-Biden by no means, but there's a greater interest in creating chaos and confusion and just a general sense of discord among the populace that empowers those above you. Because if something happens, there's more riots, there's more, when things get bad, the solution is one more government, more control, because we're going to take care of you, we're going to make you safe. We saw it with COVID, we've seen it with 9/11. With every great tragedy comes a power grab. And with 9/11, we saw the Patriot Act, it's to keep you safe, and now we live in a surveillance state. With COVID, I mean, it was, you show your papers, you can't work here unless you're vaccinated. The ability of a government to make people do the things that they did, and it all comes from fear. It all comes to create an environment of fear. And I had Carlin Borisenko on my show on Saturday, and she, hands-on with this stuff and knows what's going on. And her and I share the same fear. Like, God forbid we have, like, another Kent State. God forbid some protester lobs a rock at a cop and a cop opens fire and kills somebody. You are going to see this country go up in flames. This will be George Floyd part two. And I think you have a lot of people who are funding this or hoping something like that happens. Because you could just create this chaotic environment where, government can swoop in and do what they want. We saw it with COVID. We've seen it many times.
Are you surprised to see that it's going to be a frat boy summer, that the Pi Kappa Phi guys jump in and save the flag? They raise over $500,000 for a party. They're the toast of the town. They're being interviewed everywhere. It is good to hear that a bunch of guys who we used to think of nothing but a bunch of keg stand and toga party boys are actually have been able to resist the woke indoctrination. It's encouraging to me. But the fact that they raise so much money, how do you think that juxtaposes to the actual protests that are going on?
First of all, it does me proud to see these fraternity men, being true blue Americans, because I was one myself. I was one, and I was actually president of my chapter. And some of the most successful, greatest adults I know were in fraternities. So this idea that they're meatheads and heavy drinkers and just a bunch of rich kids, there's some truth to that. Like, you put a bunch of 21-year-old kids together, especially men, like, yeah, they're going to be idiots. But at their core, they're good people, and they see injustice, and they're doing the right thing. And people are just pleased to see it. It's refreshing to see that. Like, oh, my God, like, good American young men who are taking a stand. Like, this is something we want to see, and they should be rewarded with money to throw their parties. Have fun, guys.
They can hire the Foo Fighters now.
There you go. Exactly. Without getting vaccinated, too.
Yeah. Eric Matheny, ladies and gentlemen. Find him where you get your social media, at Eric M. Matheny. Also, download the Bob and Eric Save America podcast wherever you get a podcast. Eric, good stuff. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
All right. See ya. Smart guy. All right. Winner return. Remember the 24-year-old teacher in Wisconsin who got busted for playing tonsil hockey with an 11-year-old?
Yes.
Sadly, her fiancé is called off the marriage.
I really wanted them to work out.
I don't know if those two kids are going to be able to put it together, but when your hot young wife or fiance is arrested for making out with a fifth grader
and carrying around love notes from him,
that's the most bizarre part.
In a folder, like a teacher, actual teacher would. Like, this is little Timmy's file on his love notes.
Good for him. Run. And Christy Noem. need to stop defending her dog shooting. Although she did make a great point about Biden's dog. That's next. Your remarks as well. It's the Shannon Burke Show. Friend of the man engaged to the Wisconsin elementary school teacher who had a tonsil hockey fest with a fifth grader, said the couple's wedding is off. Madison Bergman and Sam Hickman had planned to marry in July. They've been canceled. An anonymous friend of his said Sam's really upset. He's heartbroken. He's embarrassed. And he's pissed.
Oh, you know he's embarrassed, though. All his buddies are just killing him.
More than anything, he's embarrassed.
Dude, but your girl went from an 11-year-old.
He's humiliated that he cheated with a, quote, little kid. He didn't deserve this. His friend says everyone is pissed. Well, I mean, if there is a bright spot to it, she only made out with a kid. Right? I mean, she didn't, like, blow him or, you know.
It seems there might have been a little hand stuff going on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know about the hand stuff. Oh, yeah. She wrote that she liked it when he touched her and when they kissed. She liked it.
Yeah, so there may have been a little hand stuff going on.
Little fella got his first handy at 11, huh? Do you even know what to do with it at that point?
Maybe some Cheeto fingers going on as well.
The boy's father came storming into the school with the printouts of the conversations in his hand. Teacher eventually revealed she had obtained the child's phone number from his mother after she went on a trip to something with the family. Per the post, Hickman's friend said it was a mutual decision to cancel the wedding. The friend added he is effed up that she's cheated with a little kid. She's been ordered to have no contact with the little fella. Wear a GPS monitor. She's on administrative leave, charged with a single count of first-degree child sexual assault and released on a $25,000 signature bond.
How is she on administrative leave? You can't get fired for, playing tonsil hockey with the kid in class?
Well, I mean, those are just allegations. She's definitely going to be fired.
Except for the folder of love notes between the two of them. This lady left a paper trail.
Yeah. I wish, along with all the lizard on a treadmill studies and things like that, why don't we study the phenomenon of adult female teachers and their sexual attraction to their male teenage students? Seems like a...
But this is even farther, because this isn't a teenager. This is an 11-year-old.
Maybe he's big for his age? I don't know. I started to grow a little peach fuzz when I was like 11, 12. Man. She didn't look very pretty with all the day she got arrested for a mugshot.
But no, they never do.
Other than that, she's that poor dude, I don't know how he bounced back from that. I mean, right now, probably it's not happening, but you know that this guy's boys are going to ride his ass for life.
Worse, because we all know that women immediately Google whoever they're going to go out on a date with in the first place.
Oh.
So this poor guy.
Well, maybe there'll be some sympathy for him out there. Girl's like, oh, his wife left him for an 11-year-old. No,
probably not.
Maybe he was a bad kisser. I don't know.
Yeah, he's already. I mean, there's already going to be red flags where they're going to go, why did she leave him for an 11-year-old? What's the problem here?
Can he sue her for damage to his reputation?
That's a good question. I don't know if she's worth anything, but maybe.
Man,
especially because his name got tossed in all this that.
Yeah, his name's going to come popping up.
Forever on, when you Google that guy's name, it's going to be his former fiance and the fact that she was banging or she was trying to have sex with a fifth grader.
Let's ask our resident female, Heather.
Yes.
If you're engaged to a if you were engaged to a guy to be married, well, how can I put this? Do you give any fault to the would-be husband, the fiance of the Wisconsin teacher, for her making out with an 11-year-old?
You're asking if it's his fault?
No, no, no. I mean, later on, let's say you're single.
And you're on a date.
And you see the guy. You meet him or whatever. You think, oh, this guy's pretty hot. Yeah, I liked him. He liked me. And you go home and Google him. And you find out that he had to call off his marriage because his fiance at the time was caught snaking her tongue down 11 years' throat.
That's not his fault.
Would you have sympathy for him? Or would you think that there must be something wrong with him if his fiance had to go be seek pleasure from an 11-year-old?
I guess I'd have sympathy for him because that's not his fault.
That's what I'm thinking. This guy might get a lot of sympathy.
No.
Not that from Heather, but, no. You know. Thank you, Heather.
I just don't sure if you can pull that one off at the bar. It's like, I'm not doing great. My fiance was trying to bang a fifth grader.
Well, you had to go, well, I had to call off my marriage with my fiance. We've been together for years, and it just had a, we're going to be married in July, but we had to call off. Oh, sorry, what happened? Well, I found out that she'd been cheating. Oh, it's terrible.
With a fifth grader.
Mm.
Yeah, under your breath. You got to throw that one. Like,
oh, fifth grader. Yeah. What was that?
You want a shot?
Let's get to these remarks, shall we?
From the Florida Man Radio app and powered by Morganic Meats, it's time for your remarks. Just don't be stupid.
Archives are there. They await you every night. Commercial free in the podcast section. A great way to call the show, text the show. Hit the little button at the bottom, and you have got 30 seconds.
Also, speaking of Morganic Meats, it is Jonathan Morris' birthday.
So oh, is it?
Happy birthday, right.
Jonathan. Damn, happy birthday, dude. Powered by Morganic Meats. Oh, here we go.
That's right. I had sexual contact with that woman.
That's terrible.
I treated my saxophone for her mom.
Okay, that's awful. Really bad.
Got him twice with that.
Hey, there's the guy. You were talking about Tom Brady earlier. I was too close to Eglin Air Force Base. I couldn't get it in. Anyways, somebody said back a while ago that he still has a year left at Michigan because he got pulled out in his third year of college, and that they were looking for a coach, and they're like, well, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick go back to Michigan and get another championship. Just college, but that'd be cool. Be-do-be-do.
Obtain your girth certificate with help from the Erection Clinic.
I like that.
I like girth certificates.
I'll have to run that at the flagpole next time I meet those guys.
Hey, Shando, it's Gino 68. I had a girlfriend who had a paired room with some encyclopedias in there back in the day, and I was on the GlassX speed. And I would go in there and read in the middle of the night, and the birds would like start squawking. She walked in and said, what are you doing? I said, I'm just doing the input. Number five. Beedo beedo.
What is that? What the hell is he? What?
I missed something on that one.
Me too. All of it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to confuse anybody. This isn't Liberal Larry. This is Libtard Gerard. I'll take on that character and just remind you every once in a while that Biden by 100.
100, huh? What is that, 100 electoral votes?
To speak of lactation only reminds me of this. When I was an 18-plus impressionable young man, had a fascination with it, walked into an adult bookstore, picked up a magazine called Valley of the Milk Maidens, bought it, took it outside, opened the centerfold, and it was a cow. A big black cow with focuses on the protuberances in the lower abdomen. I just was in horror. I was shocked. To this day, I hate milk. I hate milk.
Everything.
Oh my God, that is hysterical. Valley of the Milk Maidens.
I think the Chicago Teachers Union should just scream that they support the Ukraine war, and maybe they'll get a trillion. Never know.
Is that somehow they think they'll get more if they include some aid for Ukraine? And I'm surprised there wasn't a request for more aid for Ukraine in there.
Ah, oh, Shanson, another guy. You never guess who this is.
Are you right? The one hung low, like always. I want you to thank make a session for one hung low for introduction. Also want to thank you for having all those podcasts. I listened to one hung low on Friday. It helped me do boom boom on Su Hung Low and help me with my special friend, Filipino girlfriend Sasha. Okay, got to go. Gotta listen more podcasts.
Boy, I tell you something I'd love to see. I'd love to see somebody from the Trump campaign take those frat boys and make one of those Budweiser We Salute You commercials. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Trump camp.
Democrats don't give money to anybody who walks by who wants to help feed homeless people. They give money to people who are going to give money back to the Democrats most of all.
Hmm?
$21 a day for hot dogs? Yeah, baby. Let's go into the glizzy business, guys. Let's do it.
What's happening to Donald Trump is not a prosecution. It is a persecution. And the judge, if you look at his history, not recusing himself, that man should be disbarred. I don't know who has the ability to remove him, whether it's the voter or the governor or the president, but somebody needs to check.
I don't know. Does the state bar handle judges? I think they have some input. I don't know, but you could bet your ass that there'll be complaints to the bar.
You get a glizzy. He gets a glizzy. She gets a glizzy. Everybody gets a glizzy, baby.
Man, there's 1.4 million Palestinian refugees in Rafah, including 600,000 children. You can't tell me that a reckless invasion is going to be a positive thing.
Well, the population of Rafah is, what, 175,000?
Anywhere about 250,000, I think, was the number they were looking at. I tried to look into that number of 600,000 children or $1.4 million refugees, and I don't find it anywhere. Like, UNICEF says there's 600,000 children, but for those numbers to be correct, you should be able to walk through Rafah and there's just children hanging. It's not a massive city.
No.
So there should be just like large chunks of children in all plays. I think people get confused about how many when they read a number out, how many people that actually is.
Like what? The population of...
When you think of 600,000 children.
Oh, yeah.
That's a large NFL stadium six times over full of children from to the brim. So, I mean, sometimes when they just throw out numbers, the only place I've seen that number at 600,000 is from UNICEF.
And 600,000 refugees or 600,000 children?
Children. Just children is the number they throw out. And they say most of these are injured or special children. Again, those numbers are insane. There were only 2 million people in Gaza total. So you're telling me the entire Gaza shifted down to this one city.
They're all packed into where 250,000 could live prior.
Yes.
All 2 million of them. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And people that listen to the numbers, I mean, look, like Russia, they've either lost 450,000 soldiers or 50,000 soldiers, depending on who you listen to.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to find some actual stats because they're so skewed right now because according to most of the IDF stuff that's coming out, they said there was about 250,000 people there in the city. They've had 100,000 that have been evacuated. That number for Rafah, where the 600,000 was from February 26th. So those numbers are So 3 months, almost 2.5 months have passed since those numbers have varied out with the 600,000 children and 1.4 million refugees. Odds are they're not there and they've moved on. But also, again, those numbers don't compute when there's 2 million people total in Gaza.
Right.
By not laughing at the joke or not participating with the joke, you're giving the joke a lot of power. And it's ridiculous. It's doing the opposite of what it is you think you're doing, like standing up for something. You'd be standing up for it more if you left. Something to think about on a Monday.
Okay.
Hello, I'm a Democrat. I woke up this morning and I was offended. Explanation point.
with that list of demands from the Chicago Teachers Union, you'd think that Chicago students would be doing great. Well, last year, 79% of the students were not reading at grade level. So, yeah, they can't even read. Be-do-be-do.
Yeah, no kidding. How about the list of demands from the district? Like, yeah, could you, like, make sure that our kids can read? That'd be nice if you could just do that.
Hey, there's a guy. My wife and I have gone to Formula One for the last 6 or 7 years out in Austin since 2014, and we did not go last year. One of the best things I've ever done. Now, yes, I totally agree. It is way overpriced. Even to get on the grounds is ridiculous. And seats are like $1,800 a piece.
Yeah, it's cost prohibitive.
Hey, Tom from Lawrenceville here. Yeah, we went to Vegas in November for the Formula One racing, and it was $2,000 a seat, and the prices for everything were ridiculous. Plus, it totally screwed up Vegas. My wife's first time there, and you couldn't see anything because they had barricades everywhere.
Yeah. When I lived in California, I went to the Long Beach Grand Prix, and it effed up downtown for a long time.
I know. Sorry, NASA guy again, third one. But anyways, I had to continue the story. Yeah, Formula One. It is way too expensive now. Now the same seats I got back in 2014 are $1,800 more. The campsites are $600 more. Yeah, and there's too many people to turn around. So anyways, beedle-beedle, still love F1.
Hey, Shanna. If you ever watch an F1 race and you got two cars side by side, the announcer says that they're too wide. But if you're watching a NASCAR race, the announcer says they are double wide.
That's right. Redneck joke.
Too wide, double wide.
Hey, guys, there's an awesome, awesome woman, this Chinese woman named Zhao Ying Summers. And you can find her almost anywhere on, she's easy to find on YouTube. She is a hilarious insult comic, and she pulls no punches when it comes to races, especially Asians. But she's hilarious. Go look her up. She is the future of old-time comedy.
I saw Christy Noem on the morning show this weekend. Either she's had some terrible plastic surgery, or they did a number on her in the makeup seat. They're making her look ridiculous for that interview.
She started spouting about suggesting that Biden's dog, Major, might have been should have been put down too. She said, "You know, President Trump, President Biden's dog has attacked 24 Secret Service people."
She just. Christy, shut your mouth. That's the best way you can put it. Again, anybody that's been on a farm knows that that's something that may come up. You don't have to talk about it all the time. Go work back on your policies and whatever and stop talking about shooting dogs.
Yeah, yeah. Get back to DC talk.
Hey, guys. So, not sure if you watched the Cat Williams special. That was a roast of all roasts. Pretty good. You should try to find some clips and play it. Pretty darn good if you didn't watch it.
It was a roast of Cat Williams?
Oh, I think more his specials that he's done before.
Yeah. He's brutal.
Everyone knows the 200-year administration will let aliens come take your juicer from you. Especially if it's Shannon Burks. Shannon, give me the times.
Gentlemen, sometimes if your girl's asking you to shave your junk down there, make it completely baby smooth, they're actually asking for something else altogether. Think about that teacher and the 11-year-old boy. What if that teacher actually admitted to her fiancé that, hey, the 11-year-old boy's got a bigger dong than you?
Oh.
It's baby smooth.
Hey, he's done at that point.
Man. I don't think that's a good look for men. Just saying.
Hey, Shando, this is Denver. I'm glad all my ex-girlfriends left me for Chip and Dale dancers or lawyers and whatnot. Not a fifth grader. Beedoo, beedoo.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Jonathan Morris, king of the meat. Place, put your meat in his mouth or somebody's mouth. Happy birthday to you and many more.
Okay, said put your meat in your mouth.
Yeah, here they come.
The old jelly bean Pritzker, they'll get that teacher's union and they'll get that budget passed. They'll send that state even spiraling further in debt. And Cook County will once again ruin Illinois.
Man, I don't know where that guy was.
Sounded like he was in a club.
Yeah, or a busy, busy mall or something. I thought that gets passed. It's such a dangerous precedent. They're already spending like 7,000 more per student per year above the national average. That's ridiculous.
They can't have that happen. I mean, that amount of money for a teacher's union is just ridiculous.
They've got illegal aliens to take care of.
Yeah.
I'd be proud if I was that schoolboy. He probably got his first Tuscaloosa dumpling, that lucky dog. Beedoo, beedoo.
That little 11-year-old is a stud at school right now. Right?
Probably, or because he's usually they're the ones that immediately like tell their parents.
At 11, are you ooh, gross girls? Are you like, hey, oh, maybe
most,
girls?
Most boys are kind of still in that range.
At 11?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fifth grader.
And have some old lady's tongue snake down your throat?
And she was, yeah, going to town for it.
Mm.
Yeah, Cat Williams did a live special on Netflix on Friday. It was pretty good. And, Drew Bledsoe was pretty good on the Tom Brady roast, if you didn't see that one.
Did he say something about his spleen being the only reason that Tom Brady was a...
I sacrificed my spleen. I do want to see the Cat Williams. I imagine I can get it. Was it just live?
You haven't looked.
Come on.
I just got a really, really good advertising idea for Jonathan Morris.
All right.
Was that it?
That was it. I did not stop it. That ran its whole, ran the distance.
Well, we're going to have to wait for tomorrow to figure out what that advertising idea was.
All right. Thank you. Those are the remarks for today's program. Thanks for leaving them. Get the app and you can play along too. Brought to you by and powered by Morris Family Farms and Organic Meats. Happy birthday to Jonathan Morris. I don't know. I wonder how he celebrates his birthday.
Butchering a cow is what I saw earlier. So.
Oh, yeah? That's all he was doing Saturday was butchering cows. Like there's a pile of bone dust at the foot of the bandsaw. I'm like, wow, what have you been doing here?
When you love what you do, you continue to do what you love.
All right, we'll come back to wrap it up for you. It's the Shannon Burke Show.
Are you doing time? Lonely, or is your cellmate stealing from your commissary? Go ahead and vent your inmate issues to Heather at escapewithheather@gmail.com.
I'm headed to Austin this weekend to see my daughter get her master's degree and walk, which is really, really awesome. But then I've been like keeping in touch with her. I'm like, what's going on? You know, when it was really raging at UT on the campus, and she doesn't live, she used to, but we've moved her further enough away from the campus where traffic and the BS doesn't affect her. And I'm like, hey, you know, I know you're got a good head on your shoulders. You're not joining in it. She goes, hell no, I'm not going anywhere near it. It's a nightmare. You know, all of her friends are, you know, they've had it with these. And she doesn't, you know, spend a whole lot of time there anyway these days. So, but although she worked at the stadium.
So she's not diving head on into the encampments.
No, not doing the encampment thing.
Hunger strike stuff.
But I'm wondering if, because that's this weekend. And, you know, these nundicks like to show up when there's a crowd, and the crowd means all your family members coming from out of town and piling into a venue, in my case at 8:30 in the morning, to see their kid graduate. And, you know, either, I mean, there's no talk of them canceling it right now.
Well, hopefully.
But, it'd be nice to, well, I don't desire it to happen.
No.
But if I could see a bit of it in action, maybe.
Hey, maybe like one protester runs through and...
One guy stands up and says, free Palestine! And that's about it?
Yeah.
I mean, my kid is not